Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Crady Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
At Van Dyke Field, we are at the midpoint of the high school football season for the Galesburg Silver Streaks. Brad Binowitz, Jim Lee with you. Nick Simpson, our broadcast engineer, the Irish kickoff and kick into the end zone. And the Silver Streaks will have the ball from the 20-yard line to get things started here tonight. On offense, it's quarterback Peyton Isaacson for his second straight year. Just a junior, started all 10 games last year. 6 foot, 175 pounds. He's joined in the backfield by J.J. Range, the fullback, at 5'7", 175. Ben Holloway, the running back, the leading rusher on the season for the Silver Streaks at 5'7", 170, a junior. A couple of starting wideouts. We'll give those to you as Isaacson takes the carry on the first play of the game. Running right, little fake to Range, rolling left, and Isaacson travels across the 25 to the 26-yard line for a gain of 6 on first down. Jake Ferguson and Tyler Podwoyski, the starting wideouts tonight, also both juniors. So all the offensive skill set players for the Silver Streaks are only juniors. We'll set the rest of the line for you as a handoff goes up the middle to Holloway. Running room across the 40, still on his feet, and finally gang tackled across the 40, close to the 43-yard line for a gain of 17 on second down. And the Silver Streaks already showing a lot more muster here in the early going than we saw at any point in the first half last week against Peoria Richwoods. Jim Lee down on the field where kickoff is at 72 degrees, another beautiful night. And the handoff up the middle as Isaacson, after the fake to Holloway, right up the middle. Big hole, finally brought down at the Notre Dame 41-yard line in three plays, and the Silver Streaks have moved into Irish territory.
Well, obviously gaining the yardage has had something to do with it, but the team just came out fired up tonight. They are really, really up over here on the sidelines, even more so, I think, than out on the field. And you've got to like whatever the scheme that Tim Doherty has come out with. The club has executed it well on the first three plays.
Hand off to Holloway, finds a hole across the middle, dives across the 35-yard line, close to the 33 for another big gain on first down for the Silver Streaks, and that's going to bring up second and seven after a gain of seven. Sorry, second and three after a gain of seven. Back into the pistol goes Peyton Isaacson, the shortened shotgun. Holloway lined up behind him. Hand off to Ben, up the middle. Better defense by Notre Dame that time. Stops him short of the 30-yard line, but that's still going to be close to a first down. Streaks needed less than 3 yards. And we'll see where they line this one up. This will be close.
Well, I'm not going to say it's going to continue all night, but our running game has already seen more openings in, what, four or five plays tonight than we did all last week against that Richwoods defense. So this is very encouraging, at least out of the gate tonight.
They go ahead and move the chains with no measurement, so the Silver Streaks have the ball at the 31-yard line. So Holloway gets the three that he needed. And already, Silver Streaks are down to the Irish 31-yard line after just five plays. Isaacson with a hesitation move in the backfield, and Notre Dame comes charging through the line and prevents him from much of a gain. The offensive line for the Silver Streaks, the left tackle Aaron Boffman, along with Gage Miller at the left guard spot, both seniors. Boffman at 6 foot 215, Miller at 6'1", 225. The center is Jake McCreary, 5'9", 205. The right guard, Matt Hawkins, at 6'3", 265, the senior. And Ryan Curtis, a 5'11", 285-pound junior. On second and 12, Holloway stuffed in the backfield. So two consecutive plays for loss for the Silver Streaks, as the tackle made that time by Brandon Vanaken at 6'3", 209. Ben Holloway ran into a wall when those two collided, and it's a loss of another one.
Yeah, you mentioned Vanaken that time, and the last tackle made by the two captains of the Notre Dame team, Ryan Dimler and Jake Rialli, combining to bring down the Streaks on the first down play. So now we're in third and long, about 12 to go.
9.5 minutes to go. We're just underway. Eighth play of the drive, back to pass, Isaacson flushed out of the pocket, on the run to the near side, looking downfield, still with it, finally lets go with a sideline pass right in front of the Galesburg sideline, intended for Tyler Podwoyski, and it falls incomplete, and it brings up third and 13. So Notre Dame regrouped quickly on the opening drive and has brought up fourth and long for the Silver Streaks at the Notre Dame 41-yard line.
What you saw there, though, I think from Peyton Isaacson is why he can be really encouraged going forward, if not this year, certainly next, because he's able to get away from defenders and roll out to the right and buy some time. He had a lot of time to look over the field, made a good decision, didn't try and force it anywhere, went ahead and took the incompletion, and now it's a fourth down. But he's going to have a really good career here if he can get a good scheme of blocking up front and find some receivers. Josh Eicher out again tonight, his 6'4 main target not available for the second straight week, and that's got to hurt.
J.J. Range goes in motion as the streaks line up in the pistol. Back to pass on fourth down, looking long, looking downfield, and it's intercepted and then dropped by the Irish right at the Galesburg, or right at the Notre Dame goal line. Ben Holloway, the intended receiver. Good defense downfield as Luke Shadid had position. Looked like he came down with it, but then didn't quite have control when he hit the ground. And that's actually going to work in Notre Dame's favor, because by not intercepting it, they're going to get it all the way back at their own 34-yard line, taking over on downs.
Yeah, and you wonder, was that just a heady play by Shadid to realize that and drop it on purpose, or did he just let it get away? That wouldn't surprise me. These Shadid kids are all real good football players. Their coach said two of them are brothers, one's a cousin.
Handoff goes to the second man through across the right side. It's Andrew Shadid, a 6-foot, 190-pound junior. A little bit of running room across the right side. The Galesburg defense stands him up, holds him to a gain of, what are they going to give him, a yard? Looks like it's spotted right at the 35-yard line, so we'll go ahead and set the Notre Dame offense here. They run very quickly, though. We talk about the Galesburg Silver Streaks running no huddle. Well, if you heard the pregame interview with Tim Doherty, you know they'll play an up-tempo offense as well, as he expects it fully from the Irish. The handoff goes to the left side, and again, good defense by the Silver Streaks. Boy, he never did go down,
did he?
No,
he never
did. Handoff, was that to Aaron Sanders, I believe?
Uh-huh.
And the knee never did go down, but the forward progress was stopped enough to the satisfaction of the officials that they blew it dead, so it ends up going as a gain of just two.
Well, and Sanders is a load. He's 5'8", but 195. Got big legs, big waist. He's a strong kid. Looks like he spends a lot of time in the weight room. He's going to be tough to bring down all night long.
On third and seven, fake handoff, rolling right, going to the outside as the quarterback, DeMarco Washington, and he underthrows the intended receiver just short of the 50-yard line, Jacob Hurst. And it'll bring up fourth and seven. So the Silver Streaks does its job on the opening possession, holding the Irish to three plays and presumably a punt. Ben Holloway back, standing at his own 25-yard line, ready to receive this one.
Well, you've got two teams that work in that, we don't call it the hurry-up offense, but they don't use the huddle. And so you could see a lot of changes of possession, a lot of action here tonight. Not much standing around on either side in this one.
The kicker is Michael Churn. And his opening kickoff was a big booming kick into the end zone, and he rifles one away off the leg with a punt received quickly by Holloway at the 27. And he tries to work his way upfield, and he has stopped quickly, running right into Jacob Hurst again. And the Silver Streaks will have it just short of their own 33-yard line with 8:02 to go in a scoreless first quarter.
A little surprised with Holloway being the only one back. They didn't kick it more because he was favoring the left or the east side of the field, and kicked it right to him that time. I was kind of surprised they didn't try and kick it a bit away, but they're a good coverage team. They only got him, 5 or 6 yards before he got knocked down.
Confidence in your special teams, I guess, right?
Yep.
Because, yeah, that ball came down quickly, even for as deep as it was. Two wideouts to the near side. That's Jake Ferguson and J.J. Range. Handoff goes to Holloway, trying to work his way across the left side, and he doesn't get even back to the original line of scrimmage. Holloway tackled for a loss of one on first down. Go ahead and set the Notre Dame defense for you. They go typically with just a three-man defensive front. The tackles, George Rothen, a 6-foot, 197-pound junior, and Patrick Dahl, a 6'1", 235-pound senior. The nose tackle is Forbes Gibson McCormick, a 5'7", 206-pound junior. And the whistle blows just as the Silver Streaks try to snap second and 11. Four linebackers, DeMarco Washington, who is also the starting quarterback, at 6'3", 202, a junior, along with outside linebacker Jacob Rialli, 5'11", 211-pound senior. The inside linebackers, we've already mentioned Jacob Hurst's name a couple of times, 6'4", 227, junior, and Ryan Dimler, the other inside linebacker at 6', 183-pound senior. The defensive backs, Andrew Shadid and Luke Shadid, going 6', 190, a junior is Andrew, and Luke, a 5'10", 172-pound sophomore. And the other two defensive backs, one of the captains, Colin Salander as Isaacson goes back to pass. Washington picks it off at the 22-yard line and is tackled inside the 15. And Notre Dame is deep in Galesburg territory on Peyton Isaacson's first interception of the season.
Never a good time for an interception, but that's one he really hates, to give it up deep in his own territory. And he'd love to have that back because his intended targets, he had a couple of them out there. Whoever didn't catch it was going to be a lead blocker. It was a well-conceived play, but he just didn't get enough height on the ball, and the linebacker grabbed it, and a big, big turnover to start this one.
Silver Streaks have done a good job on the season. Hanging on to the ball, DeMarco Washington, the quarterback's going to run it all the way in from 13 yards out after the interception. So he makes the interception. And then on the very next play, the quarterback runs it in from 13 yards out. And after the Silver Streaks defense did such a marvelous job on the opening possession for the Irish, they can't stop DeMarco Washington on a one-play scoring drive.
Unconventional formation here on the extra point. You may kick, but they've got everybody on the right side. It kind of looks like Mike Hoskins' old outhouse play. Now everybody runs back to the line. It'll be a traditional kick, I think, after all was said and done.
That's going back in time. 96?
Six or seven.
Churn in for the extra point. We know he's more than got the distance. And he does make it in between the uprights. And he actually kicked it over.
Yeah, it's on the
softball field. Both the border fence and the construction fence on the north end of the field.
Well, wow. We said one of the last times we played Notre Dame, they had a kicker with a big leg, and they've still got one. So,
a one-play scoring drive, 13 yards, comes directly after the Galesburg interception. It's 7-0 Irish, 7:21 to go in the first quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL, WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2014 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
It's Michelle and Patsy from Bates Collision Center.
We're all about teamwork here at Bates. Everyone here plays an important role in the repair of your vehicle after an accident.
From the moment you walk in our door, you can trust that the team at Bates Collision Center is working for you.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Hi, I'm Jim Bohannon. Listen to my show every weekday night from 9 till midnight on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
7-0 Peoria Notre Dame, 7:21 to go in the first quarter here at Van Dyke Field. Second to last game to be played here at Van Dyke Field in its 43rd season. If you're tuning into WGIL expecting Cardinals baseball tonight, forgetting that it's high school football season and Friday night, we'll let you know the Cardinals already have a 3-0 lead on the Cubs and the bases loaded, still batting in the bottom of the first. Another booming kick by Churn. Ben Holloway, like Jim Rice, watching a home run go over his head and not even moving, just trots back up to the 20-yard line to get ready for the play.
And if you notice Churn on your program, he's just listed strictly as kicker and punter. So that's his specialty. You're not going to see him out there doing much of anything else. And I guess you would expect big legs at Peoria Notre Dame because if you follow soccer at all, this school is the gold standard for soccer.
Yeah.
They won the state title 2 years ago. I don't think they quite got it done last year, but they just have a great soccer program. And so much like Galesburg did last year, they can probably rotate some soccer players in there and get good help on the football team.
See what the Silver Streaks can get going offensively. Ben Holloway ducks down, gets hit hard as he lowers the shoulder, but he still gains 5 on first down.
This may be the most perfect evening we've had of the 5.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Yeah, the first couple obviously were a little too hot. Last two had to have sweatshirts on by the time they kicked off. This one is just fabulous.
This is the baby bear of the football game so far. We've had Papa Bear, we've had Mama Bear, now we got Baby Bear as Peyton Isaacson crosses the 30 to the 32-yard line for a gain of 7. And he could have gone more, but he just stumbled and fell. But Silver Streaks still moved the chains up to the 36-yard line for a gain of 11.
And if I know Peyton, he's probably mad at himself still for that interception. He's a good athlete, a bit of a perfectionist, but that's what you need to keep yourself at your peak level. And he was running with determination that time.
On first down from their own 31-yard line. Hand off to J.J. Range, who got his first touchdown of the season last week. The only score for the Silver Streaks at Peoria Richwoods. He gains 3 on first down. Silver Streaks will have it 2nd and 7 from their own 39-yard line. Ted Bevenauer in the house tonight, our colleague from the downtown studios, and he's filling us in on some updates. No big surprise here. North Fulton leads Bushnell Prairie City 24-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Isaacson with the keeper for a couple of yards right there. And, you know, I was looking at the Notre Dame quarterback. He's 6'3 and 205. And when you get a guy that's that kind of athlete at quarterback, you become very dangerous if he's a heady player. I'm trying to think the last time we had a big quarterback, I'm thinking it might have been Patrick Hanlon because he was 6'4. And I don't think we've had any. Isaacson may be the tallest one we've had since then, do you think?
Andrew Steck was very mobile and very dangerous, but wasn't big.
5'8", 5'9"?
I was thinking 5'10", yeah.
But, yeah, an excellent quarterback, excellent runner, but been a while since we had a big quarterback.
Silver Streaks call timeout, 5:39 to go first quarter, trailing 7-0. Cardinals don't add any, despite loading the bases in the bottom of the first against Chicago. Still lead at 3-0 after one at last check. Pittsburgh was ahead of Cincinnati 2-0. In the, let's take a check, now 2-1 in the top of the fifth. So all the Cardinals need is a victory this weekend or one Pittsburgh loss to fully wrap up the division and be the Central Division champions. But, of course, maybe even more focused on what the Atlanta Braves are doing as they battle for home field advantage into this final weekend of the baseball season.
Sounds like the Cardinals may be ready to start the party early tonight and erase that magic number and walk all over my Cubbies.
Well, it's early.
Yeah, but the Cubs don't hit much. If they get down a little bit, there's not a whole lot left there.
I haven't mentioned the sophomore score tonight. They battled hard, never really were able to get much offense going, but the defense didn't give up either, ended up losing 19-7, so the GHS sophomore is now 0-5 on the season. Coming out of the Galesburg timeout, 3rd and 6 for the Silver Streaks, 5:39 to go in the first quarter, ball spotted just across the Streaks' 40-yard line. In the pistol, the snap to Isaacson, fake handoff to Holloway, now rolls right, under pressure, and tackled for a loss by Jake Rialli, who comes bursting in from the left side of the defensive line.
Yeah, Rialli showing some good speed off of that linebacker spot there for the Irish, and Isaacson, he was ready to go right, and then by the time he looked upfield once more to try and find a receiver, then he tried to go left, but at that point, Rialli just had too much speed coming in from the left side and buried him.
Loss of 8 for the Silver Streaks brings up 4th and 13. And in a more traditional punt formation, Isaacson boots this one away. Dropped at the 38-yard line and then picked up by Notre Dame running up the middle of the field. And the Silver Streaks tackle him at the 47-yard line.
Too
little
bad we
juggle
didn't.
Job
yeah.
There by Andrew Shadid.
We'd have had somebody just a little closer there. We'd have had a big break.
So 7-0 is the Irish lead, 4:56 to go here in the first quarter. As Peoria Notre Dame takes over, they'll have it just short of midfield at their own 47-yard line. So let's go ahead and tell you more about the Irish offense. DeMarco Washington, the quarterback, Jim already mentioned, 6'3", 202. He's got three running backs who lined up behind him in the wishbone. Handoff goes to the first man through, and the Silver Streaks read it well initially, but good forward progress as he continues to battle across the 50. Into Galesburg territory at the 48-yard line is Sanders for his second carry. That goes as a gain of almost 6, call it 5 on first down. Sanders' second carry of the night. And just like that, they're into Galesburg territory.
We saw them put it in the air once in that first series, and that was one more time than Central saw them throw all last week. Notre Dame jumped out to a big lead in that one and never had to put it in the air.
And Aaron Sanders, a 5'8", 195-pound senior. Andrew Shadid in the backfield, 6 foot, 190-pound junior. Washington on the keeper this time. Ducks right, still on his feet. Finally dragged down from behind at the 40-yard line for a gain of 7. Big hole across the right side, and he shot through it quickly. And Notre Dame moves the chains with the ball sitting in Streaks territory at the 40.
Jake Ferguson in on the tackle for the Silver Streaks. We'll also give Gage Miller a little credit over there.
Now the clock rolls. Second carry of the night for DeMarco Washington. The first was a 13-yard touchdown run, the only score of the night so far. Handoff goes right, ducking down low. Sanders underneath some Silver Streaks defenders, stopped at the 35-yard line, picks up 5 more.
Yeah, and we figure the clock will be managed a little more tightly tonight. Coach Tim Doherty was not happy with the way it went in the last home game here, and so some instructions given, and so I think there'll be a little better coordination between the officials and the official scorers maybe in this one tonight.
Clock rolling, under 3.5 minutes to go here in the first quarter on 2nd and 5. Washington, the pitch play into the backfield, too shattered, trying to feel his way across the right side, and the Silver Streaks defend it well, stringing him out a little bit. Christian Powers got Andrew shattered from behind. They'll still give him a gain of a yard, maybe two. Let's see, they're going to spot it just short of the 34-yard line. Goes as a gain of just one, 3rd and 4 upcoming.
Yeah, big third down. You'd love to get, well, this is 2-down territory. You'd really love to get a stop. You hate to get, we always say it, too far behind a good team early on.
Give you some high school football scores here momentarily. Let's see what happens on 3rd and 4 here. Inside the Galesburg 35-yard line. Toss play to Shadid. Trying to feel his way across the left side. Gets the hand down. Silver Streaks bounce him a couple of times. And then finally they take down. That was actually Luke Shadid. The Silver Streaks take him down short of the first down marker. It'll be 4th and 2 upcoming from the Silver Streaks 32-yard line.
Gage Miller again there on the tackle for the Silver Streaks. Shadid cut that inside. I think it might have cost him. They out on the wide side, they brought out two guys and just rolled poor J.J. Range. He was doing what he could, but he got blasted. I thought they had an opportunity this direction, but when he cut it back in, he cut right into the strength of the Streaks defense and only gained a couple of yards.
So on 4th and 2, out of the wishbone, they've pretty much stuck with that formation the entire time so far, and two tight ends. Washington now comes back up from underneath center, checks his wristband for another play. Maybe trying to draw the Silver Streaks off sides initially. Now he snaps it away. Hands off up the middle to Sanders. Stacked up at the line of scrimmage. This will be close. Probably enough for the first down. But let's see where the spot is. And no measurement. The officials give it to him. So the ball sitting right at the 30-yard line. The gain of 2 is enough. And the drive continues for the Irish.
Well, that's too bad. I thought maybe we had him, but he was able to plow ahead enough into that pile to just get it by the nose of the football.
Mercer County over Mid County, 20-0 in the first. Princeville leading Ridgewood in the second quarter, 37-0.
Ouch.
West Central over United, 7-6.
That's a surprise.
Yeah. And that's also in the second. And in the second, Stark County pounding River Valley, 28-6. Hand off right for Notre Dame. Stopped at the 25-yard line. Looks like Christian Powers in on the tackle again. Along with Gage Miller. Pick up 6 on first down for Sanders. Down to the GHS 24-yard line as the drive continues here. 8th play upcoming with a minute 11 and counting here in the first quarter. Notre Dame leading 7-0. On 2nd and 4. Washington on the keeper, rolling left. Now on the option pitch, gets rid of it. Left side, Luke Shadid. Dragged down and then bursts forward across to the 10-yard line. Ben Holloway slowed him down initially, but it wasn't enough to stop him from getting 5 more. And it'll be 1st and goal Irish from the 10 after a gain of 14.
That was right in front of me. Holloway saved the touchdown, though, because he hit him and then he grabbed on his left hand. He was actually getting dragged by the ball carrier, but it slowed him down enough to where J.J. Range and Gage Miller could come over and finish off the tackle. So Holloway getting pulled a ways there, but that's what saved him from having momentum to get in the end zone.
40 seconds and counting here as we roll toward the end of the first quarter. Irish trying to build on a 7-0 lead here. DeMarco Washington, the quarterback, on the keeper. A little bit of a hole, cuts up the middle, and then rolled down from the side as Christian Powers comes over, makes the initial hit, stops him for a gain of a couple. But still forward progress inside the GHS 10, down to the 8. 2nd and goal upcoming.
You know, Notre Dame up to this point of the season, if you hadn't heard us mention, they have played about as tough a first four opponents as you could get collectively. Four teams that are very likely to all end up in the playoffs. They went 2-2 against them.
2-0 against teams from their former Mid-State 6 conference. Both of their losses to Western Big 6 teams. Final play of the quarter on the option keeper. Washington finds a hole across the right side, and the Streaks trip him up just short of the goal line. But it'll be 3rd and goal from about the Galesburg 2 when we start the second quarter. It's Notre Dame 7, Galesburg nothing after 1. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
WGIL proudly supports the Galesburg community.
Hi, this is Becky Young with WGIL. The OSF St. Mary Auxiliary is having their annual fall luncheon on Wednesday, October 2nd at the Swangataha Country Club. cost is $25 a ticket to benefit the Cardiac Rehab Department. Check the door prize list and get full details at WGIL.com.
These community announcements are being brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL, involved and invested in the Galesburg community. Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
One quarter gone at Van Dyke Field. Peoria Notre Dame leading the Silver Streaks 7-0. But knocking on the door here as we get ready to start the second quarter. It'll be third and goal just inside the Galesburg 2 when we come back, as they have to take the ball from one end of the football field, the north end, all the way down to the south end of the field. And the Silver Streaks defense will have to stiffen up here and, well, maybe not two down territory, Jim, with the kicker that they have. You know, they're certainly thinking seven here, but there's no reason in the world why they can't easily kick a field goal if they need to.
Yeah. Well, and this is like last week. Didn't Richwoods get denied just on one end at the end of the first quarter? We
yep.
went down the other way, and they scored. Hopefully Notre Dame won't, but it doesn't look very good for us right now. They've got two downs to get a yard and a half.
It'll be the 11th play of the drive upcoming. Silver Streaks forced Richwoods to run two plays. They held him out from the one on the first play. This will be third and goal from the two here. Washington under center. Looks like there was movement on the right side
sure
of
was.
That Notre Dame line, and that's going to bring him back 5 yards. First penalty of the night for the Irish.
I couldn't either the right guard or right tackle went early on that, and so that's a nice break for us. Put him back. Hey, that breeze is coming out of the south, and they are cooking pork chops or something down there. It
Boy.
Smells so good on this football field.
Smelling them all night.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
I had plenty for dinner, but, boy, sure makes me want to head down there for some more. All right, so third and goal from the 7 now, as we ran only 2 seconds off the clock here to start this second quarter. A little slower to come to the line here now. Washington's not in at quarterback. It's David Shadid, 6'1", 76. See that happen somewhat frequently from Peoria schools. So Shadid brings the line set on the keeper. Is going to throw it to the back of the end zone. It's juggled and dropped. Intended for Jacob Hurst. And it was a little bit high, but no reason that he couldn't have come down with it, but he just couldn't handle it. And it falls incomplete in the end zone, and the kicking unit is heading out.
Yeah, that's a ball that Hurst has to catch. I mean, that's right on his hands. But Ben, as soon as it hit his hands, Ben Holloway was over there to get in the way and got his hands on it, helped knock it out of Hurst. And so, as you had said, Brad, they won't be shy about taking 3 points because they certainly have the leg out here to do it.
Churn has not missed a field goal attempt this season. And he's perfect on extra point attempts as well. Again, distance not the problem for him. A good snap. Oh, and he boots it way left.
Wow.
That thing hooked dramatically as soon as he kicked it away. And the Silver Streaks defense holds 7 seconds into the second quarter. The field goal is no good, and they still trail by just a score at 7-0.
Yeah, it looks like he way overkicked that one. I mean, that's basically an extra point, just a little more than that. And he put leg into it like he was trying to kick it 40 yards.
So the 24-yard field goal is no good. And the Silver Streaks will take over on downs. Again, just underway here in the second quarter. 11:53. The Silver Streaks get it at the 20. Isaacson, handoff right side, Holloway. Found a little bit of a hole, and he trips through it to about the 22-yard line. Gain of a couple. So Holloway has been slowed down dramatically since really picking up some big yardage, both he and Peyton Isaacson on the first series of the game. The Notre Dame defense has responded. Back to pass. Isaacson rifles one across the far side of the field and right through the hands of Jake Ferguson, incomplete. Beautifully thrown ball.
Yeah,
Ferguson had the arms outstretched, but...
Yep. Yep, had to turn around a little bit to try and haul that in, and then he got blasted right after that. But, you know, you look at Notre Dame, and they're probably going, boy, did we hurt ourselves there. They had a 5-yard penalty, a dropped pass in the end zone, and then missed the field goal.
but still lead it 7-0. And already the Streaks in a 3rd-and-8 from their own 22. We're just underway in the second quarter. Handoff intended for Holloway, but Isaacson on the keeper. And that did not fool Peoria Notre Dame at all. Takes Isaacson down for a loss of 2. And it's going to bring up 4th-and-10.
Jake Rialli again on the tackle there. If you can see why he's one of the captains for this Notre Dame team. He's been all over the place, especially back in the backfield where Peyton Isaacson is.
So Isaacson will have to punt this one away. What little wind there is will be behind him. Notre Dame not sending anyone deep, and Isaacson gets one end over end, and it takes a Galesburg roll, bouncing at the 43-yard line and then rolling back inside the 25, back to the 23, and that's where Tyler Podwoiski will down it. So good situation there for the Silver Streaks. If they couldn't get a first down, they get good result on the punt. But Notre Dame takes over, 10:40 to go, and that was just too quick of a possession for Coach Tim Doherty's liking.
Yes, like you said, field position-wise, I guess you take the big picture is instead of having Notre Dame on your 1.5, they're having to start clear back after the turn of events at their own 22. But, yeah, you'd like to see the offense. You know, if we're going to win this ball game, it's like last week. We've got to show more on the offensive side of the ball. No matter how heroic the defense is, we have got to get the ball moving.
Back in at quarterback to Marco Washington. Handoff goes to the right side, this time to Andrew Shadid. Gets across the 25. Close to the 27-yard line. Pick up a 4 on first down. First quarter score. Rock Island leads Peoria Central 13-0.
There was one in the Peoria paper pick Central to win that game, and I sure don't see that happening.
No.
Although I do like the Alleman Quincy matchup. That'll be interesting up in Rock Island tonight.
Yep. I was just checking the score on that one. Haven't seen anything yet. But I think that's definitely the game to watch among these 10 schools that make up the Midwest 10, unofficially this year, officially next year. Hand off to Sanders, carries a couple of defenders across the 30, close to the 32-yard line. Got a head of steam rolling in the backfield, and powerful little running back dragged some Silver Streaks defenders with him for a gain of 5 up to 3rd-and-1. Ball spotted at the Notre Dame 32-yard line, approaching the 9.5-minute mark of this first half. Notre Dame leading 7-0. On 3rd-and-1, Irish have a 4th-down conversion to their credit. 0-for-2 on 3rd downs, rolling to the near side. DeMarco Washington gets the first down, tripped up by Cody Myler across the 35 to the 37-yard line, but that's enough for the first down.
Yeah, they did a good job faking the handoff to Sanders, the fullback, the first man through. That drew a couple of tacklers to him and freed up the quarterback to skirt around the end and get a few yards. Streak still responded pretty well, but, that full house backfield for Notre Dame makes you think if you're on defense, you got to find the ball. You see everybody coming at you, you just got to find out who's got the pigskin.
5 carries, 35 yards, including a touchdown for DeMarco Washington on a delay. Handoff goes just across left tackle, across the 40, close to the 41-yard line. Silver Streaks responded as Washington faked it, then kept it. He'll pick up 3 on first down. Cardinals threatening again now in the bottom of the second, already leading the Cubs 3-0, runners at 1st and 2nd and 1 out. We'll have Cardinals baseball tomorrow, 5:30, is that right? Am I remembering that?
Yeah,
right?
Earlier start, I think 6:15 first pitch, maybe 5:40 tomorrow night. The Illini tomorrow morning, 10:30, pregame 11 o'clock kickoff against Miami of Ohio.
Out of the wishbone, Washington brings his team set. Hand off to the first man through that. Sanders bounces, trying to roll off a couple of defenders, but the Streaks don't let him get away. It's Ferguson and Myler on the tackle as Sanders brought down at about the 43-yard line. Hard-earned 2 yards more, and it'll bring up 3rd and almost 5 for Notre Dame here.
If you want to see some Division III college football tomorrow, you can stay right here in Galesburg, watch the Knox Prairie Fire. They host Lake Forest. Or you can drive west. Monmouth College has Cornell in town. It should be they're talking rain tomorrow afternoon.
Hopefully
not until later in the afternoon. And pretty windy, too. 30-mile-an-hour winds. So the weather could come into play in games tomorrow.
Back to pass, handoff to the second man through the streaks. Read it very well, tackling Andrew Shadid.
Hawkins.
They faked the first handoff, and Shadid was taken down almost immediately. As he got the handoff, he still was able to dive forward just across the 44-yard line. But it goes as a very minimal game, and the streaks force a punt here.
Yeah, Matt Hawkins got down low and reached that big arm out there and tripped him up. Good play by the streaks defensive lineman, and this thing's turned out all right to keep that 7 on the scoreboard. I feel like we still got a real good shot at this. And seeing the defense make a stop there, and they'll be punting into the wind here. Holloway the only man back.
And not back very deep.
No, he's not.
I would think he would be back a little bit farther. In fact, now he's creeping up to the 33-yard line. The kick away from Churn is going to go over Holloway's head, and he's just going to let it go. Takes a high bounce, bit of a Notre Dame bounce. Then on the second bounce, it takes more of a roll inside the 15 down to the 13-yard line. 6:50 remaining here in the first half. Silver Streaks trailing 7-0. And that's where they take over, just needing to get something going here offensively. First 5 or 6 plays of the game were all for positive yardage. Streaks came out looking fired up on offense, but it's been hard to gain much of anything since then. They'll have it at their own 13-yard line.
So far today, everybody here on the sideline, myself included, has been observing the keeping away from the sideline a little better the last game. And a number of games we've been seeing this year in high school, they are really enforcing that, keeping away from the sideline 5 yards back here.
Well, and how many times have we seen a sideline warning on both teams? Pretty much every game we've seen so far, it gets called at least once, if not once on both teams. All right, coming out of a brief officials timeout. Isaacson on the keeper, rolling up the middle, found some running room, tripped up, taken down at the 20-yard line, but that's a gain of 7 on first down. Should mention another good successful program of the Silver Streaks you're highlighting at halftime here tonight, Jim.
Yeah, we did girls golf last week, and we'll do boys golf tonight. Dean Betts enjoyed talking to Dean there on Wednesday, caught up with him during one of the rare days they weren't playing this week, and so we'll talk boys golf for GHS at halftime.
Sacked for a loss goes Peyton Isaacson, dropped back inside the 20-yard line, so he picks up 7 on first down and then dropped for a loss on second down. So 3 of his last 4 plays have gone for negative yardage, and it'll bring up 3rd and we're going to call it 3rd and 6. I'm sorry, 3rd and 4.
Both the Galesburg boys and girls golf teams, very young, a lot of freshmen, sophomores playing on these teams.
From the 19-yard line of the Silver Streaks, halfway through the second quarter, handoff to Holloway, ducks down low. Not much there,
and
then
job.
Somehow he comes out of it, and he's got enough for the first down up to the 25-yard line.
Great effort by Holloway. We thought he was stopped at
about
19 or 20, and he was a burst, able to sneak through and get that thing out with the nose of the ball at the 25 and move the chains.
First third down conversion of the night for the Silver Streaks, and how Ben snuck through underneath there, I don't know. But best gain he's had since early in the first quarter. Goes as a gain of 6, and the Streaks move the chains up to the 25. Trips left, 3 wideouts to the near side for the Silver Streaks with Holloway the lone setback. Isaacson looking that direction. Lofts one downfield, intended for Michael Moss, and he jumps for it, but it's still overthrown. Moss slowed up too late, or Isaacson, or he went where he was supposed to, and Isaacson overthrew it.
Yeah, Moss trying to adjust and come back to the ball a little bit. I thought he made the right play on it, because if he stays behind the defender, he's probably not going to get that. But he's able to slide in front of the defender, made it possible, but he just wasn't tall enough to be able to jump up and quite haul that one in.
If that's
Eicher, it might be a completion.
Cardinals do not score in the bottom of the second. Still lead the Cubs 3-0 going into the third. 5:25 to go first half here at Van Dyke Field. Notre Dame leads Silver Streaks 7-0. Second and 10 for Galesburg from their own 25-yard line. Holloway goes in motion. Isaacson fakes the handoff. On the keeper, hole up the middle, runs over a linebacker, taken down at the 35-yard line, very close to another first down.
Yeah, he did. He lowered his shoulder and ran over Luke Shadid there. Got an extra yard or two, so the quarterback gets a rare opportunity to deal out a little punishment, and the Streaks are moving the ball.
Not even a measurement. A gain of 10 for Peyton Isaacson. 9 carries, 37 yards. For the Silver Streaks, and a first down from the 35-yard line and a timeout. Take a timeout as well. 5:15 to go first half. 7-0 Peoria Notre Dame leading the Silver Streaks. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
There's a lot to buying a house besides the purchasing process. Protecting your home and your possessions is very important. Craddy Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg, will explain your coverages to you and make sure they provide the peace of mind you desire. We can also review your current policy to make sure you're not paying too much. So to review your policy or get a home insurance quote from Rockford Mutual, call me, Mark Craddy, today at Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street in Galesburg.
I'm News Director Will Stevenson. If you see news happening or want us to report on a story, tell us about it 24/7 by emailing news@wgil.com.
5:15 to go, second quarter at Van Dyke Field. Silver Streaks are the first down at their own 35-yard line, trailing Peoria Notre Dame 7-0. Cardinals lead the Cubs 3-0 top of the third. Pittsburgh over the Reds 4-1 top of the sixth. Check out some high school football scores for you as we can throughout the night as well, of course, including from our own Ted Bevenauer, who's helping us keep to date on some other scores. He's anxiously trying to find out Knoxville, Elmwood, Brimfield scores, and to no avail so far. Definitely one of the biggest games in the area that we're keeping an eye on tonight. Isaacson again fakes the handoff, this time to Range, running to the right side, gets down low, stopped just short of the 40-yard line. Another good gain to pick up a four on first down at the Streaks. Continue to make forward progress. The drive started back at their own 13 with just under 7 minutes to go in the first half. Now with under 5 minutes to go in the second quarter, they've moved it up to their own 39. Rather methodical play calling here.
One of those Richwood's 8 minutes drives like they had last week. That'd be nice to put together.
Out of a more traditional formation with a pistol handoff. Another first down for Ben Holloway across the right side of the line. And stop short right at the 49-yard line. Goes for a gain of 10. And the Silver Streaks move the chains again.
Now, I love the way Ben Holloway hits the hole, but the way he carries the football. He really tucks that thing in with two arms. And I suppose by saying that now, I'll probably cause him to fumble the next play. But that play is really evidence of ball security is so important to Holloway and the Silver Streaks. We can ill afford to have turnovers when we have trouble scoring a lot of points against these good teams.
The only score the Streaks have given up tonight was directly after their only turnover of the game. From the 49, handoff to Holloway. Cuts up the middle, hit at the 50-yard line and stopped for a gain of a yard. And the Silver Streaks encroaching into Peoria Notre Dame territory here on 2nd and 9. Ball spotted right at midfield. And the clock rolling toward the 4-minute mark here of this second quarter. 53 yards rushing now for Ben Holloway on 10 carries. Right at midfield, 2nd and 9 for the Silver Streaks. Out of the pistol, shotgun snap to Isaacson, fakes left across the middle of the field, and an early hit on Ben Holloway, and there's no flag down. Tim Doherty is irate. Well, that was an easy as call as you can make. The official just missed it. Ben Holloway got hit before the ball ever got to him, and no flag was thrown.
Well, I think the back judge was saying the ball was tipped before it got there, which I guess negates, because, yeah, you're right. There was no question, and Holloway was incensed when he got up. But the back judge saying the ball was tipped. That's the only logical excuse I could see for not getting a flag there.
So on 3rd and 9, Isaacson drilled in the backfield. Takes the handoff to Holloway, and right again, Jake Rialli in there to make the stop. Goes of a loss of 2, and that'll take it back to 4th and 11 now from the Galesburg 48. Boy, the momentum just completely died on that series, didn't it?
Yeah, but you know what a great pass. That was going to be a completion. There's no question.
Yeah, and a first down it would have been, too.
Yep.
Said the Silver Streaks have to get into punt formation here. Isaacson with a short kick to the far side of the field, the former home side of the field. And it takes a Galesburg roll inside the 20 down to the 19-yard line. And with 3:12 to go in the first half, Silver Streaks defense has to rise to the occasion again. Had it not been for the one turnover, as we mentioned a moment ago, we'd be in a scoreless battle. Silver Streaks defense up to the task so far, but 3:12 to go here in the first half. Got to get it done again. A nice time for a turnover, wouldn't it?
You know, I was thinking the same thing because it's the same spot on the field where we turned it over on the interception and they took it in. So maybe they'll return the favor here.
Don't DeMarco Washington, the starting quarterback, will begin this series as well. Comes up under center. Back to pass on first down. Nearly runs over the referee. Now pump fakes. Keeps it underneath. Tucks it in. Skips a man at the 23 and run out of bounds at the 30-yard line. After all that, Washington's going to pick up a first down. And he just about ran over Tim Doherty in the process.
Yeah, I was hoping he would throw that ball because there really wasn't anybody open. He was looking for Schmidt again on the sideline. And that wasn't going to happen if he let it fly, so a good decision by the Notre Dame quarterback to tuck it in and run.
This is a gain of 11, 7 carries for 49 yards. That's a pretty good average, huh? 7 yards a carry. 3:03 is where the clock stops here in the second quarter. Notre Dame leading 7-0, looking for more here. Stuck with the wishbone all night long. Out of that formation. Washington, again on the keeper after the fake handoff, tries to cut back up the middle, hurdles a man at the line of scrimmage, and stopped short of the 35-yard line for a gain of maybe 3, maybe 4. They are going to put him right at the 35, so it goes as a gain of 5 on first down.
Jadavian Zarangi hit him up high, and that was good enough. He got a little help on the tackle, but mostly Zarangi on the tackle.
.230 and counting here in the second quarter. Notre Dame with the ball at their own 35-yard line, trying to build on a 7-0 lead. Handoff left on the option keeper. It goes to the outside and run down. Maybe tripped up on the far side of the field, Luke Shadid. But tripped forward and forward progress right to the first down marker.
Yeah, a couple of times in this first half, and that was the case
first
right
down.
There. That's almost a forward pass. I mean, he lets his back get just a hair ahead of him when he shoots the ball that direction. But it's worked for him both times.
Again, no measurement. First down. Cubs do not score. Top of the third. Cardinals leading 3-0. A pitch play into the backfield. Goes to Andrew Shadid, trying to feel his way. Hit up high. Hangs on to the ball. Advances the ball forward. 7 more yards across the 47-yard line. For a big gain on first down for Andrew Shadid, his best run of the night. Doubles his rushing totals to 14 yards, and it'll bring up 2nd and 3. And they're very close to midfield now at the 47-yard line.
And they have the advantage of looking right at the clock, so they know exactly what they're working against if they want to get a score in before the half.
Leading 7-0. Pitch play to Luke Shadid in the backfield. Tries to cut up the middle. Got the first down into Galesburg territory and wrapped up, taken down just across the 49, close to the 48-yard line of the Silver Streaks. That'll be enough for a first down on a gain of 5 more for Luke Shadid.
Tyler Podwoyski over there on the tackle for the Silver Streaks as they try and stiffen up here and deny Notre Dame. As we've mentioned, their kicker's got a big leg. Wasn't a very accurate leg earlier on the field goal attempt from close in, but I would think if they could even get it to maybe the 25-30-yard line, they might take a shot at it.
Sixth play of the drive that started back at the Notre Dame 19-yard line. It's now from the Galesburg 48 back to pass. Washington, lots of time, directing traffic. Open right in the middle of the field, and a catch at the 35-yard line. Finally dragged down at the 31 of the Silver Streaks. Wide open is a double threat, Jake Rialli, a big defensive lineman and a big target at tight end, and a big play for Notre Dame.
And then Rialli, there was no finesse once he got that ball. He just turned around and stuck his forearm out and just ran over our tacklers. He wasn't going to try and go around anybody. It was just through him.
First pass completion of the night for DeMarco Washington. Handoff up the middle. A hole for Andrew Shadid. Cuts back into the linebacker core and wrapped up down at the 20-yard line for a gain of 11 more. And Notre Dame very efficiently moving downfield now, threatening with a minute 10 to go before halftime.
Now definitely in field goal range now, although they are kicking into a bit of a breeze. But with a minute 10, I'm sure they're thinking 6 and not 3.
So after struggling for 7 yards on 4 carries to begin the night, Andrew Shadid has now picked up 18 in the last two, and a flag flies from about 3 different directions as this play gets snapped, and it'll be a false start, presumably, against Notre Dame, only their 2nd penalty of the night. But the last one they had killed a potential scoring drive, and they came away with nothing. See if at least the Silver Streaks, certainly hoping for that scenario again.
Yeah, from our standpoint, that was the absolute perfect time for them to have had their only penalty up until now, because that 5-yarder effectively killed their drive.
Minute and counting. Now under a minute to go before halftime. Notre Dame leading 7-0. Back to pass. Washington looking downfield. 2 receivers there. And it looked like Rialli got turned the wrong direction. And DeMarco Washington threw behind him a little bit. Sorry, that was David Shadid. And now Washington's going to come back in. Incomplete, second and 15 upcoming.
Yeah, it looked to be exactly the same play they ran to Reale, what, three or four plays ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the pass was a little bit behind him this time. He got wide open in the seam that previous play. That time there was a little more traffic around him.
David Freeze has homered in the bottom of the third. Cardinals now lead the Cubs 4-0. Pittsburgh leading Cincinnati 4-1. 52.5 seconds to go before halftime here. Toss play to Luke Shattered in the backfield. The quarterback, Washington, provides some lead blocking, running left across the 20. Stopped down inside about the 18-yard line. They get the 5-yard penalty yardage back, and now a timeout called by Notre Dame, stopping the clock with just under 46 seconds to go before halftime. And the ball sitting at the Galesburg 17.
Silver Streak's doing a pretty good job against the flow of the offense that time to limit the game. And you wonder, will Notre Dame look at taking a few shots through the air to the end zone?
Well, third seven upcoming. I believe they still have one timeout remaining, too. I know they took a defensive timeout in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like on every play, his first target is Jacob Hurst, number 44. He's the guy he threw to in the end zone there that couldn't haul it in that second potential scoring opportunity. And every time Washington has rolled out, Hurst has been the guy that he's over here on the right side of the field. Seems like they always want to roll right. I don't know that we've seen them. They've run a couple of plays to the left, but they haven't thrown any that direction. We'll see what they come up with here after the timeout.
Ooh, Rock Island's opened up a 27-0 lead on Peoria Central now in the second quarter.
Yeah, I had no doubt Rock Island would be scoring there. I thought maybe Central would, you know, at least be able to put some points up.
All right, third and seven coming out of the Irish timeout from the Galesburg 17-yard line. And a double. Here's a pass play across the middle.
Yes.
Tipped. And is it caught by Rain?
Yes, it
he
is.
He deflected it. He dives backwards. And he comes up with the interception to deny Notre Dame again.
Yeah, that's what you get on those option plays sometimes when the halfback goes to throw the ball. They underthrow it a little bit. It's exactly what happened, and Range, making the adjustment, tipped it up in the air, and as he's falling down, was able to haul it in just before he hit the turf. An outstanding play by J.J. Range, and it denies Notre Dame the score here before the half.
So with 38 seconds, the Silver Streaks take over. So two times Notre Dame gets deep inside Galesburg territory. On the last possession where they did it, they missed a field goal. This time an interception. Second turnover of the game. One on Galesburg, now one on Notre Dame. And the Silver Streaks have it at their own 2-yard line with 38 seconds to go. And Isaacson, on a quarterback sneak, just goes right up the middle. Streaks are not going to try anything fancy here. And they're just going to be content to hang on to the ball and run out the clock here at the end of the first half, trailing 7-0.
And if Notre Dame had a couple of timeouts, they'd probably use those here. But I think with just one left, it's not going to do them much good because Galesburg's just going to do a quarterback keeper. And I almost said go to the locker room. There is no locker room.
Right.
Go behind the bleachers. That's what they do at halftime.
And are the Silver Streaks even going to have to run another play? Looks like they won't. So a 1-yard gain ends the first half. And the Silver Streaks go into the half. Down 7-0. Nice show of sportsmanship between Ben Barkley and Peyton Isaacson as the opponents head off the field. Give each other a low five. And the Silver Streaks hold Notre Dame out of the end zone on two scoring threats in the second quarter and go to the half. Down 7-0. Again, we'll talk Silver Streaks boys golf coming up with Streaks head coach Dean Betts. Get you some scores from around the area. Check on the Cardinals Cubs, the Pittsburgh Cincinnati game, all that ahead on the halftime from Van Dyke Field where the Silver Streaks trail Peoria Notre Dame 7-0. You're listening to Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Live coverage of Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dickerson's Photography on West Main Street in Galesburg. Timeless images for you and your family. And by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg.
It's going on now through Monday, and they're inviting you to the party. Come out and celebrate the grand opening of YEM's brand new Dodge, Ram, Chrysler, Jeep store. YEM on North Henderson Street in Galesburg has over 100 brand new Dodge, Ram, Chrysler, and Jeeps to choose from.
Free spray and bed liner with every new Ram. Free tank of gas with every vehicle purchase, new or used. Used cars starting at under $500.
Come out to YEM tomorrow for lunch. Hy-Vee's grilling out again. Free hot dogs and hamburgers from 11 to 1.
It may be our Dodge, Ram grand opening, but we're spreading the savings throughout the lot. This is Lauren West. We've got 2012 Impalas starting at $13,995, 2013 Chevy Cruze, or 2013 Dodge Avenger. Your choice at only $14,995. Plus, if you buy during our grand opening, you'll drive away with a full free tank of gas on us.
The five-day grand opening celebration is going on right now through Monday at the new YEM Dodge Ram Chrysler Jeep, North Henderson, Galesburg.
Financed through Chrysler Capital, with approved credit plus tax, title, license, and dock fee.
See YEM for details.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
The official WGIL forecast, clear with overnight lows of 58 tonight. Tomorrow, breezy with some sunshine in the morning. Then isolated showers moving in the afternoon, highs of 82. Wind gusts around 30 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, showers in the evening, then clearing out after midnight, lows of 52. Sunday, some sunshine breaking through for us, highs of 75, overnight lows of 48 and clear. And Monday, sunny and clear as well, with highs of 78, overnight lows of 55. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 70 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with a halftime report.
Halftime of Silver Streaks football, and time to turn our attention on this Friday night to the Galesburg High School boys golf team. Last week we talked to, with the girls coach Brad Gross, and now Dean Betts joins us to talk about the boys. And Dean, your season may not be going quite as sparkling from a one-loss standpoint as the girls, but you still got a solid club, don't you?
Yeah, we got a real solid club. The nice thing is we're so young. No seniors on the team. We have some freshmen that have stepped up and playing real well, and our juniors. So, you know, we're young all the way through, so we're looking forward to next year.
Mm-hmm. At this point in the season, are the guys where you would hope they would be? Not only just wins and losses, but I know you look at each one of their individual games and where they're at.
Yeah, you know, I think the main thing was with the freshmen coming in, it's not like playing during the summer, even in the tournaments there. You know, high school golf's a lot different. There's times where they're paired with a senior, you know. So there's a big age difference in high school between a freshman and a senior, you know. So just stature-wise and the whole bit. So I think that's what I'm looking at more than anything, and they're handling that much better now.
Do you find that it's changed over the years when underclassmen come in? Are they still a little intimidated by the juniors and seniors, or have some of these kids been playing long enough that it doesn't faze them?
You know, I think they're still intimidated, but it's not to the point where they're scared. You know, I think they're nervous, and like I told them, they should be. When we took them to Wyvern the first time, you know, this year, that's a big tournament. You know, there's 22, 23 teams in that from Chicago all the way down to Carbondale, and their eyes were huge when we walked out there, you know. So, but yeah, I think they're handling it very well.
Now, you had an incident come up this week where you played against Moline, dropped it by 12 strokes. Those 12 strokes were the difference between Jackson Weatherby being allowed to count as score or not. Tell us what happened there.
What happened was Jackson had been carrying an extra 6-iron. We knew it at Pekin. He put it in the van. I said, just put it in the van. Well, then I told him, make sure you put it back in your bag so you don't leave it in the van. Well, he put it back in his bag, and then he forgot about it. So, I mean, he called himself on it. But now the rule has changed, too, since I had that happen once when I was over to Knoxville, oh, man, 15 years ago or whatever. Now it's a maximum 4-stroke penalty. It used to be 2 strokes per hole. And, you know, when it's like, and Jackson's like, I don't want to go in with a 52. People are going to say, how did I shoot a 52, you know? So, and it's since he called himself on, I thought that was far beyond what, you know, a lot of kids would have done. So I was very happy with that.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was really impressed with him doing that, because a lot of people might have tried to hide that or put it under the rug, but he was straight up about it.
Yeah, he called me over and he said, hey, Coach Betts, if I get up and down here on 18, I'm going to shoot 34. But I'm going to have to DQ myself because of my 6-iron. And I congratulated him really for that. I mean, that's, you know, golf's an honor game, you know, and I thought that was good. You know, we just still got beat by 1 stroke, yeah, even with his 34, you know. So I guess you can look at it, that's nice. You know, I mean, we don't like getting beat, but, you know, it didn't matter. So.
Yeah, so it didn't make it hurt quite as bad. And, you know, you talk about the honor game, because I think we've all watched the pros, and every once in a while a guy will, you know, sign a scorecard that has one number wrong or something, and they're very particular about that.
Oh, it is. And, you know, there's so many rules in golf. I mean, it's amazing to look at some of the, you know, some of the rules and go, there might be a situation where there might be 4, 5, 6 different ways to get out of this, you know. So it's tough. I mean, it's very tough for the coaches, and it's got to be really tough for the kids.
Well, you've got your two frontline players. We talked about Weatherby and Nesselrode. Those two guys are, I think, almost every tournament, Hunter and Jackson are your top two scorers, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, all the time. You know, and Hunter, when Jackson was out at the beginning, I mean, Hunter's played excellent golf this year. I mean, he has played far beyond, you know, what he thought, I think, even what he thought he was going to be when it coming in here. I mean, he's been in two medalist contentions, you know, at Macomb and then over to, where was the other one? I can't remember now. Over to Metamora. You know, both of those, I mean, he was right there with, you know, 17 to 20 teams, and he was fighting for number one.
Mm-hmm. How much better can these two guys get?
I think they're still getting better. I mean, I really do. You know, it's going to be scary next year when they step out there, you know, because they're turning in 70-whatever now. I think they're going to be right around that par all next year. You know, if they don't shoot par, it's going to be really weird.
Well, and as so often happens with a golf team, even if you have two people up front that are golfing really well, you've got to have those others to round out the score. Tell us who's doing that job now.
You know, right now it's been one freshman plays really well, and then he falters the next week, and another freshman plays well. So, and that's what you got to have. I mean, you got to have somebody that steps up when the one doesn't play as well, and you know, another kid steps in and gives us those other scores. And that's been happening right now.
Yeah, I was looking the last couple of rounds. Sean Peterson, Matt Tamar, Noah Benbow, Josh Fliss were both the rounding out the top six.
Yeah, that's about where we're at. And then we got little Brandon Leon. That's another freshman. And then Brandon Boffman, he's been playing pretty well, and Nick Foster. You know, we've got about nine players there that are vying for spots back and forth. So, you know, and you got to be happy with that, especially since all of them are coming back.
You've got a big weekend, in fact, extended weekend coming up, right?
Yeah, we have our invite this weekend out to Bunker Links. We start at 8 o'clock if anybody wants to come out and take a look. And the girls are playing too. And then we go over to Highland Springs for the Western Big Six.
A particular course they like the best, I suppose, is Bunker, since they play there the most?
Yeah, I think so. We play really well over to Geneseo, over to Maple Bluff. You know, I mean, we have every year. So, but, yeah, you know, they feel a little more comfortable since they do play at Bunker every day. You know, that's a comfort zone for them, so.
Well, you know, we talked about when you've got a young team, some of these guys are probably going to courses they've never been to before, which is a definite disadvantage.
Oh, yeah, most of these courses that we played so far, my young kids have never been there. Wybring, they hadn't been to. Macomb Country Club, Lick Creek over to Pekin. I mean, because that'll, yeah, even if you've been there a few times, you don't want to go back most of the time. You know, I mean, that's a tough, tough course. So, I mean, I threw these kids right into the fire, you know, and they've handled it well. And Jackson and Hunter have really taken them under their wing. You know, I mean, they've done really well with these two. Those two being, you know, captains of the team. I mean, these kids look up to those two.
Yeah, so it's not just some of the other sports you think of in terms of team cooperation. Even in golf, that's a big part of it, isn't it?
Oh, it's a big thing, you know, because with golf, it's a totally different sport anyway, because it's so, you know, you don't want to be hyped. You know, you have to be more calm. You have to be, you know, think through the game. And I think that's what Jackson and Hunter have helped them to with, you know, with the rest of the kids a lot. You know, it's just the mental aspect of the game, you know. You know, how to read certain things, you know, what to do on certain holes, stuff like that. And it's helped them a lot.
Yeah. Well, and ultimately your opponent is not the guy that's teeing off before or after you. It's the course.
Yeah, that's true. You know, you play the course. That's what I told them. When I first took them to Wybreen, I said, you know, I don't have any expectations today. You get out, you just play the course, you see the course. And, you know, we went back the following week and we took off, 19 strokes. So, I mean, I was really happy there, you know. So that's very good.
Did I see you got to play up at John Deere last week?
Oh, yeah, that was great. You know, and, you know, we averaged 40 a man there.
Yeah.
I mean, they played very, very well there. I was very impressed. And it looks like, keep our fingers crossed, that UT has the conference next year. And he was talking to the guy from John Deere. And it looks like we can play there next year for the conference match. That'll be fantastic.
Yeah, but the kids, especially if they've gone up and watched the pros play, that's got to be a treat for them to go out and try their hand at it.
Yeah, because that's what they were talking about. Oh, yeah, remember, you know, hole number three where such and such happened, you know, and they were going to be able to play there. And it was really neat for the kids. It was a neat experience.
some years we have to have a conversation about the weather, but outside of it being a little hot there in August, early September, it looks like the forecast into October is pretty good. And I know that's key for you guys as you head towards tournament time.
Yeah, you know, it can really change in a hurry. You know, I mean, we've got really good equipment that the kids are ready for, you know, with the weather. But, you know, we've played in rain and 40 degrees. And, you know, when you go from being really warm, I mean, it's hard to change your game that much. I mean, because now you have extra clothing on. It's cold. The ball doesn't fly as far. There's a lot of things that happen. And it looks like through October, if we keep playing, it looks like it's going to be unseasonably warm. So that'd be great.
Well, we can get the farmers some rain after the golf season's over, all right?
There you go. That would work. Or it can rain at night. As long as we get to play during the day, I don't care.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dean, thanks for a few minutes of your time here at halftime of Silver Streaks football, and best wishes as you go forward with the Silver Streaks golf team. How many years have you been doing this now?
17 total golf-wise, 29 years total sports, basketball and golf. But, yeah, 17 for golf now.
All right. Keep up the good work. Take care.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
Dean Betts, head coach of the Galesburg Silver Streaks boys golf team, our guest here at halftime. Back with more of the halftime report and the second half kickoff on Silver Streaks football at WGIL and WGIL.com.
75 years as Galesburg's radio station.
WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14.
Local news now.
The District 205 Core End Implementation Committee met yesterday where a new focus was available. The district's Board of Education recently decided to pursue constructing a new Silas Willard building as opposed to renovating the existing structure. At yesterday's meeting, the size and number of classrooms was discussed with several teachers at the school. Superintendent for Finance and Operations David Black says smaller and smaller details will be worked out in the coming months with the designs. Depending on your definition of a classroom, the district is seeking either 24 or 26 classrooms. A hearing has been scheduled for next Thursday now that a Galesburg man says he wants a private attorney to represent him on attempted murder charges. Knox County Circuit Court records indicate 25-year-old Dominique McClendon said yesterday he wasn't satisfied with the public defender appointed to him. Alternate counsel was appointed in the meantime. McClendon allegedly opened fire at the La Mesa Inn in late March. He wasn't arrested until July. I'm Tyler Maffitt. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Pam Puso.
Any bill that continues to play political games will force a government shutdown.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, following passage of a spending bill that would keep the government funded through mid-November while removing a House-approved provision to strip money from the nation's health care law. The ball now bouncing to the House, where Speaker John Boehner has his work cut out.
He has consistently said that the government can't shut down. He has consistently said that, on the same token, it has to defund Obamacare in some fashion. So he has to make a choice. Is he going to maybe force a government shutdown? Because he has the hot potato last, you know, when the music stops.
Fox News Radio's Chad Pergram on Capitol Hill. The government could shut down early Tuesday morning if Congress can't reach a compromise. House Republicans plan to gather tomorrow to figure out their next move. This is a Fox News alert.
Join Menards in saluting our American-made products with Menards Made in the USA sale. Complete your building projects with America's largest selection of pressure-treated pine. Treated in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and other U.S. cities. Choose from decking, timbers, lumber, and boards in many sizes. Plus, save big on our entire selection of drywall. Made in Fort Dodge, Iowa, and other U.S. cities. Choose from standard, basement board, and more types of drywall. All 10% off Menards everyday low prices.
Save big money at Menards.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2014 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
It happens.
And it can be anything unexpected.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. When it happens, it's our hope at Bates that we can make it as easy on you as possible.
Remember, Bates is here to make it better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Steak, how I yearn for you on this morning. My mouth waters for your delectable flavor. You put a fire in my belly that can only be described as full.
So a steak and egg biscuit, right?
Start your morning with one of McDonald's steak and egg sandwiches made with perfectly seasoned premium steak, a tasty egg, grilled onions, melted American cheese, and served on a toasty muffin or biscuit.
Come to me, my love.
The simple joy of delicious devotion. for a limited time at participating McDonald's.
Tune in for Fighting Illini football as Illinois takes on Miami of Ohio. Coverage begins tomorrow morning at 10:30.
The Fighting Illini play here. Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Halftime here at Van Dyke Field. Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you. Nick Simpson, our broadcast engineer. Silver Streaks trail at the half, 7-0. But it's been a good game. Cleanly played game. Only three penalties in the entire half. And all were false starts. Two on Notre Dame, one on Galesburg. So a total of only 15 yards in penalties in the first half. The only score came after a Galesburg interception. Peyton Isaacson threw his first interception of the season deep in Galesburg territory. The linebacker DeMarco Washington intercepted it and then turned around, took the ball as the quarterback, and ran it in from 13 yards out. So had it not been for that penalty, we feasibly could have had, the turnover, we feasibly could have had a scoreless first half. It's been a very good first half, a very threatening, a potentially high-scoring Peoria Notre Dame team, and the Silver Streaks have held them to 7 points. The team has just broken huddle and is headed toward the sideline, so we'll see if we can get a word with Streaks head coach Tim Doherty and find out what the team strategy is here and what for the second half and what coach's thoughts are in the first half. But he's talking things over with our referee out there, so I don't know if Jim's going to get much of a chance to ask him anything out there.
I guess I don't outrank the official here.
Well, certainly not.
A second for comment? Okay, yeah, he's right here.
Okay,
right.
Jim, go
coach,
ahead.
Your thoughts on the first half and where we are right now?
Well, we got another half to play. Our kids are playing really hard, and we just have to come out in the second half, play a complete game. That's what we're looking for.
Haven't scored in the third quarter yet this year. This would be a great night to do it.
Yep, for sure.
Thanks, Coach.
Quick baseball update. Pirates lead the Reds 4-1, top of the eighth, so no change there. Cardinals still leading the Cubs 4-0, but threatening again in the bottom of the fourth with two on and nobody out. Notre Dame will have the ball to start the second half. Silver Streaks won the toss and elected to receive in the first half. So now Notre Dame, after the Silver Streaks defense holds serve at the end of halftime, right before halftime, J.J. Range comes up with a big interception, keeps Notre Dame out of the end zone. And now the Irish are going to turn around and have the ball to begin the second half. And let's see if the Silver Streaks defense can keep up this tight play throughout the second two quarters, find their way into the end zone, and maybe pull out a victory here. Streaks are undefeated at home this year. They have only four home games and two remaining, including this half, at Van Dyke Field before they move into the new facility next year. It'd be great to finish out this stadium's history on an undefeated record at home. Quincy leads Alleman 7-0. And an end-over-end kick. Streaks go with a squib kick up the middle of the field. Taken on a bounce by Luke Shadid. Found a hole up the middle. Gets past Ben Holloway. Breaks free into the open field. And Isaacson finally wraps him up. A touchdown-saving tackle. But not before Shadid returns it to the Galesburg 35-yard line. Not that the way they wanted to start the second half.
Not what you expect there. Because when that ball went squibbing up the middle and it took a couple of crazy hops, I thought, well, this is going to work out really well. But Shadid was able to just run up on it and catch it in stride and just ran right through our first wave of coverage. And, yeah, good job by Isaacson and I think Cody Wixforth over there as well to run him down and save the touchdown.
United Township has taken a 15-7 lead over Moline. Up the middle goes Sanders, the running back. Hasn't carried the ball. He got the ball a lot early on in the game, but didn't get it so much late there in the second half. But he gained 6 on first down, brings up 2nd and 4 as we are just underway here in the second half. Ball sitting at the Galesburg 29-yard line. Run through the first half stats here when we get an opportunity. Washington, handoff to the second man through Andrew Shadid. Gets down low, trying to run up right tackle. Stopped at about the 27-yard line. It'll be a gain of 2 more. And 3rd and 1 upcoming. Talk about what a cleanly played first half it was.
Silver Streaks benefited from a couple of Notre Dame mistakes deep in their own territory. They had a false start penalty inside the 5-yard line that moved them back to the 7. Then a dropped pass in the end zone that negated a touchdown. So on fourth down, they went for a 24-yard field goal and ended up missing it. Now straight up the middle goes Washington, and a big surge by the offensive line gives him the first down and a couple of more down to the 25-yard line. So a big third down conversion there for Peoria Notre Dame, and they move the chains.
Well, we're hoping to avoid what has happened to us. Well, certainly the Alleman game comes to mind. We were tied in that one 7-all at halftime, and then Alleman came out very determined and just scored quickly and moved the ball up and down the field, shut us down that whole second half. We're hoping that doesn't happen again here with Notre Dame tonight. As I mentioned with Coach Doherty, we have yet to score in the third quarter in any game so far.
Well, it's the halfway point of the season. Good time to do it. Back to pass on first down. Now handoff to Luke Shadid. Big burst of steam up the middle. Inside the 20, down to the 19-yard line for a gain of 6 more. Shadid was nearly at full speed as soon as he took that handoff. And a big gain of 6 on first down has him inside the Galesburg 20-yard line.
It was the sure hands of Ben Holloway wrapping up on the ankles and bringing him down. Holloway does it on both sides of the football. So many times we talk about the offensive side, but Holloway is a very good defender.
Yep.
He gets the most out of that, 5'7", 5'8", frame.
On second and 4 from the 19-yard line, Washington. Handoff to the left side. Sanders cuts back up the middle into the streak secondary and finally rolled down sideways inside the 10 to the 9-yard line. So Sanders picks up 10 more. And Notre Dame chewing up yardage here to open up the third quarter, leading 7-0. We're 2.5 minutes into the second half, and they're looking to make it a 2-touchdown lead.
Well, the guys at the chains can just drop the one end of it because the goal line is the marker. It's first and goal, the ball at the 9. Silver Streaks desperately need to at least limit Notre Dame to a field goal here. We'd like for them not to even get that.
Handoff up the middle goes to the first man through. Sanders fights off a couple of defenders, and he gets his way across the goal line, and Notre Dame now leads 13-0. Every play went for positive yardage on a 6-play scoring drive that covers 64 yards, and they did it in less than 3 minutes to open up the second half.
And, of course, the terrific kickoff return put them in great position. I think that got them some momentum, and they just continued that right on down into the south goal, working into the wind, where they had botched a couple of opportunities in the second quarter, not so much so here in the third. Here comes the extra point.
Yeah, I said 64 yards. It was just a 36-yard scoring drive. They were in Galesburg territory to begin with. Churn's kick is easily through the uprights. It's 14-0 Notre Dame, 9-10 to go, third quarter. Galesburg will have its first second half possession when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
What is that noise? It's driving me crazy.
Honey, it's our power meter.
Please make it stop.
Put a stop to the clicking by calling Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today. With the installation of higher efficiency central air conditioners, hot water heaters, and furnaces, you can reduce your energy use and your power bill. And that sounds a lot better than... Find out more with a call to Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
14-0, Peoria Notre Dame leads Galesburg, just underway in the third quarter, 9-10 to play. Rock Island leads Peoria Central 27-7. Quincy and Alleman now tied at 7 in the second quarter. UT leads Moline 15-7. Like what you said on the air earlier today, Jim, somebody's got to win that game.
Yeah, Geneseo, we know that much.
Geneseo shutting out Dixon 35-0. Orion over Sherrard 28-8, and a very short kick. Where the heck did this come from? And it's a live ball, and Notre Dame's going to get it at the Galesburg 36-yard line. Silver Streaks were caught completely off guard by that one. They had no clue the position of the ball. They were looking for it deep. Churn kicked it very short. Notre Dame ran up underneath it. And for the second straight possession here in this second half, They're going to start from the Galesburg 36.
Well, and as you can guess, there's some Silver Streak players who are getting yelled at by the coaching staff there. You might have heard Jay Barshinger from a young, get it, somebody catch that ball. He saw what was developing. The guys just weren't coming up on it. They were kind of treating it like a punt. Well, can't do that on a kickoff. It's a live ball, and we just didn't get on it. Notre Dame with a chance to really take complete charge of this game now with the ball back on the 30-yard line.
Down inside to the 29, Sanders rolls off a couple of defenders, gains 7 on first down, and this is time for the Silver Streaks to really button up. They cannot let down their guard here, or they will be in a position where they're going to be getting blown out quickly. Still a long way to go in the game. Handoff up the middle, and Sanders just chewing up yardage here in the second half. Gets to the first down marker at the 25-yard line. Almost escaped another couple of tacklers, but they were able to slow him down and roll him down. But he's still down 4 more yards to the 25-yard line.
Now, if you were with us in the first half, we mentioned that Aaron Sanders, who just carried the ball, one of the captains on this team, he's 5'8", but he goes 195. I'm not sure he isn't a little stockier than that watching him down here on the field. He's a load, and he's very strong. He carries that ball. The Silver Streaks look like they were trying to strip that ball away from him, but he would have nothing to do with it on that carry.
10 carries, 50 yards in the game, but 4 for 28 here in the second half. And Washington fakes to him, trying to get to the outside. Now he's forced to cut up the middle. Ben Holloway closed him off from the outside, and he had to duck back up the middle, but he still picked up 4 more. And it'll be 2nd and 6 from the 21.
We may have an injury timeout. One of the Notre Dame players is up, but he is really hobbling. It's George Rothen, junior offensive lineman. Now he's back down. He was briefly up, hobbling, and now he's back down, and we will have an injury timeout here.
So we'll take a timeout as well as everyone gathers on the field to huddle up. 7:51 to go, third quarter. Notre Dame facing a 2nd and 6 from the Galesburg 21 when we come back. Irish leading 14 to nothing. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
People who insist that it doesn't matter who does your screen printing have lower standards than you. You know what you want. You know what you expect. Clean lines, artistic designs, quality materials that players will actually want to wear. Screen-printed sportswear like that comes from Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Soft, comfortable fabrics, bright, bold colors. Crisp school logos that profess your loyalty loud and proud. Find everything you need on and off the field at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program, so the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center, all together better.
Sports stories, sports scores, and more. Fox Sports Radio. Weekends on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
RBI hits by Yadier Molina and John Jay in the bottom of the fourth, put the Cardinals up 6-0. The Cubs fail to score in the fifth. Lance Lynn with a 3-hit shutout so far, and going to the bottom of the fifth. Cardinals up 6-0 on Chicago. Young man being helped off the field for Peoria Notre Dame, and I was distracted, Jim, during that timeout. My attention went away from focusing on the injured player to a rather animated speech made by Peyton Isaacson just outside the Galesburg huddle there. That was pretty, he was pretty fired up, trying to get the defense going. 7:51 to go here in the third quarter. Streaks down 14-0. Notre Dame will have it 2nd and 6 from the Galesburg 21-yard line. Out of the wishbone, Washington. Handoff to the third man, getting to the outside. Andrew Shadow with a burst of speed. He will go in untouched. Streaks completely fooled at the line of scrimmage, and all Andrew Shadow had to do was get to the outside, and nobody was within 10 yards of him. It's a 21-yard touchdown run.
A little lull there, and our defense went to sleep a bit. It wasn't because Peyton Isaacson didn't try and fire him up. He was really trying to rally the troops there, yelling at the guys him during the timeout. But that first play, we were snoozing on that because he just ran right around the right end. Nobody touched him.
Take less than a minute and a half off the clock. We have played just over 4 minutes here in the second half. Notre Dame has scored twice now. And a tight, well-played game at halftime has now turned into a 21-0 Notre Dame lead.
Well, our third quarter struggles continue.
Yep.
As we said, we've not scored this year. And not only that, defensively, we've given up some big yards. I know we mentioned Olliman, Richwood's last week. If I remember right, East Moline moved the ball some in the third quarter, even though we ended up winning that ball game. But third quarter has not been kind to this Silver Streaks team, and it sure isn't tonight, giving up a quick two touchdowns here to turn what was a game where we thought maybe we could pull off an upset here at halftime, but now things are not looking so good. It's kind of daunting trying to think how we're going to put up 21 or more points against this Notre Dame defense here in a quarter and a half.
Well, the Silver Streaks' two most glaring mistakes tonight have turned into Notre Dame scores. The first one was Peyton Isaacson's first interception of the season inside the Galesburg 20-yard line, which Notre Dame ran it in on the very first play offensively. And then the next mistake was the previous kickoff, which Ben Holloway now receives this one at the 15-yard line, up the middle of the field, taken down across the 25. But Silver Streaks fell asleep when the kicker Churn kicked it very short, and the Streaks seemed totally unaware that the ball was a live ball, and Notre Dame recovered at the 36-yard line and were able to turn that one into a touchdown four plays later. So now the Streaks have to get the momentum going again starting this drive. First possession of the second half from their own 28. 7:35 to go, third quarter, now down by three scores.
Oh,
Holloway
boy.
Trying to go right and runs into a wall of white.
What
led
he?
By, again, Jake Rialli.
He really got erased out there on that one. He went right and then cut it back in. And sometimes when you cut it back in, you cut right back into a linebacker. And he did there, Rialli, and so was Ryan Dimmler just there to smash him.
Holloway again with a carry up the middle, and the Streaks just have nothing going offensively here in the first couple of plays of the third quarter. They'll give Holloway two on that one, but very quickly the Silver Streaks facing third and eight here. Only 1 for 5 on third downs in the first half. Out of the pistol, back to pass. A quick one by Isaacson across the middle, caught and then dropped by Darby just short of the 50-yard line. It was right into the numbers. Looked like he turned himself around a little bit. He never really had the handle on it, and it falls incomplete. That would have been a first down and plenty more.
Yeah, perfect pass, and it caught Notre Dame off guard there, having Darby go out. He was wide open, and Isaacson hit him right between the numbers. But Darby not a guy that's out there catching balls very often, and now we've got to kick it away.
Peyton Isaacson 0 for 7 with an interception tonight. So the Silver Streaks don't even take a minute off the clock. And a good punt by Isaacson over the head of Andrew Shatter, who's just going to let it go. And it takes a big Galesburg roll all the way down inside the 10 to the 7-yard line where J.J. Range finally picks it up. Well, a big net game there, but tough to go three plays and out when you've just given up two quick scores early in the second half.
And three plays and out, and what we use maybe a minute off the clock?
It's just now at a minute.
Yeah,
Silver Streaks took only 50 seconds off the clock, and then the punt took another 12. Well, worst field position of the night for Peoria Notre Dame.
Let's hope it stays that way.
Yeah, Silver Streaks defense could really rise to the occasion here. They could anticipate maybe getting some good field position. But they've got to stop the Irish. They haven't been able to do that here in the first two drives of the second half. And again, they go to Sanders across the 10. Made a 5 on first down up to the 12.
Yeah, we may get a little more steady dose of Sanders here in the second half. He secures the ball very well. He's hard to hit for a loss. He just rumbles up the middle when they need to take good possession of the ball and work a little clock. He's obviously the guy to go to.
And if you're thinking about Notre Dame turnovers, they do have 3 interceptions on the season, but really not in any kind of need to throw the ball here tonight. Already up 3 touchdowns with half the time gone in the third quarter. They fumbled it 4 times, but lost only one of those. So they've done a very good job not only hanging on the ball to begin with, but even when they do cough it up, doing a good job of recovering. DeMarco Washington on the bootleg Runs to the outside. Silver Streaks were again looking for the ball at the line of scrimmage, and he carries it all the way across the 25 to the 27-yard line for a gain of 15 on second down.
And when he rolled out and was acting like he was going to throw, I'm thinking, what are they doing throwing up 21 to nothing, especially deep in their own territory? Well, then as I looked, he had no receivers out there. It was a complete bluff, the pump fake, because he had nobody he could throw the ball to. It was strictly a run all the way, but he sold it well enough to freeze a few defenders and make a pretty good gain out of it.
Halftime, IVC leading Monmouth Roseville 7-6. Mercer County rolls over Mid-County 55-0. Again, our thanks to our colleague Ted Bevenauer keeping us updated on other scores from around the area tonight. Here's Sanders up the middle, cuts to the outside, wrapped up by three black jerseys of the Silver Streaks defense, and finally stopping him just short of the 35-yard line. But he still picks up seven more on first down.
I don't know that I've seen one guy tackle him by themselves tonight or not. It takes two or three. He doesn't possess great speed, thankfully, but he is a strong kid.
Boy, Jim, and you talked about it earlier in this game, and I think it came up during your pregame interview with head coach Joe Walters, that as quickly as he's been able to turn this program around now in his fourth year for the Irish, he's got a very solid team. Well, they get to the quarterfinals last year, I believe?
Yes.
And now doing it again this year with a lot of juniors getting a lot of playing time. So they're going to be good for some time. Hand off to Andrew Shadid. Boy, he's just spinning and bouncing off defenders. And finally, the Silver Streaks were able to stop him at the 38-yard line. That was a hard run of four. And he moves the chains for another first down.
Yeah, and Coach Walters knows Dave DeJager, the head coach of Alleman, pretty well. He's just got tremendous respect for what Alleman does. They would have loved to have beaten Alleman, but he felt like them playing them a 21-14 game, he felt like his program made a pretty good step to be able to play Alleman that well. And so, you know, Notre Dame, a similar type of school in a big community and in a private school, the ability to maybe put together one of those great traditions at Notre Dame, because, you know, Spalding and Bergen for years were really tough. They were great rivals, and they came together to make Notre Dame. And I think a lot of people have been wondering, you know, this team may, this program may become awfully tough in the years ahead.
And, of course, Tim Doherty got his start in that Catholic tradition in the Peoria area. Handoff goes to Luke Shadid, getting the outside. He'll be stopped just a yard short of the first down. Here's the score we've been waiting for all night. On the Knoxville-Elmwood-Brimfield game, it's the end of the third quarter, and the Blue Bullets lead 20-16. So it's every bit as good of a game as people could have hoped, and two undefeated teams matching up there.
Yeah, outstanding. A couple of years ago, I'd forgotten, I was reading that today, they played similar game, and it was a 23-22 game.
Oh, that's right.
And some controversy around that one that Elmwood-Brimfield won, and so Knoxville over there trying to erase that memory tonight.
And maybe finally crack into the top 10 of the poll, too.
Yes, this would definitely do it, I would think.
Hand off to Sanders, gets a first down and more up the middle into Galesburg territory. Got turned around, falls down at the 43-yard line. He picks up 10 more. And another first down.
I was a little surprised. Knoxville just got one, you know, token honorable mention vote this week after the way they plowed Farmington.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe Farmington hadn't garnered that much respect yet either. But if they beat Elmwood-Brimfield on Elmwood's home field, you got to figure they'll at least sneak in at number 10 this week.
Here, under 3 minutes to go, third quarter. Notre Dame started this drive back at the Irish 7-yard line. They've moved into Galesburg territory to the 43, trying to build on a 21-0 lead over the Silver Streaks. Hand off to Andrew Shadid across right tackle. Slowed down, leans forward across the 40, close to the 38-yard line for a pickup of five more. And they are just motoring over the Silver Streaks, marching downfield efficiently, quickly. 20, 31, 40, 50, 55 yards they've covered in seven plays, the eighth play of the drive upcoming here. They have not run a single play for negative yardage in the second half, taking a 7-0 lead up to a 21-0 lead with 2 minutes to go and counting in the third quarter inside the Galesburg 40-yard line.
Almost a carbon copy of our game with Alleman. Except we got a touchdown in that
one. Except we were tied at that one, yep. Hand off, Shadid, starts left, tries to roll right, getting to the outside, gets down low, keeps those legs pumping and forward progress across the 35 to the 33-yard line, and the officials call a
quick timeout. We do have a flag down here.
Oh, there is. I'm wondering if it's a face mask.
Looked like a real high tackle there.
I thought so, too. Michael Moss, it looked like, got him up high. And if it is a face mask, I'm confident it'll be only the five-yard variety.
Might have been on Zarengi. I'm not sure.
They call a personal foul. It's going to be a personal foul face mask.
It must have come after the high tackle that we saw.
Oh, maybe so.
Because the official on the other side facing it was the one that came in and threw the flag. So that's the first major penalty we've had on either team tonight, isn't it?
Shows you what I know. I thought it was Moss, and I thought it was incidental when he got him, but not the case. So biggest penalty of the night for the Silver Streaks, 15 yards. Takes them down to the Galesburg 19-yard line now. Only the second penalty of the night. And now back in the red zone are the Irish trying to build on a 3-touchdown lead. Luke shattered across left tackle. Gain of 4 on first down up to the 15-yard line. And the Silver Streaks just don't have an answer for any of these guys right now. What a talented running back core they have in the offensive line, doing a terrific job getting them some running room. And again, not giving up any big plays here, so the Streaks defense hanging in there. That's how they won the Moline game, not giving up the big plays, just hanging in there and eventually forcing 6 fumbles. That's a rarity. And that's kind of what they're doing here, but Notre Dame just doing a terrific job protecting the ball and eating up yardage and clock. And not in any hurry to get to the line of scrimmage here as we're under a minute to go in the third quarter. Silver Streaks have had the ball a minute of this third quarter. And another play for positive yardage up the middle. Close to the 10-yard line.
And another play where Sanders got the ball and got 3 guys on him, and they still never brought him down. And one of them was Matt Hawkins. Tells you how strong Sanders is.
Spot the ball at the 13-yard line. Another gain of 2. This will be the 11th play of the drive. Notre Dame, 2 for 5 on third downs tonight. And are they going to have to run a play? We're down to 7 seconds.
Doesn't look like it.
They're watching the clock. Nope, they're not even going to try. So that's the end of the third quarter. 2 quick scores by Notre Dame in the first 3.5 minutes of the third quarter. And the Irish now lead Galesburg 21-0 as we head to quarter number 4. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Never miss the action.
And it's picked up on the other end. Jennings running the sideline to the 20, to the 15, 10. 5 guys in the end zone. Touchdown, a pick 6. Timmy Jennings.
The Bears try to make it 4 in a row when they take on division foes, the Lions.
Hi, this is Jeff Joniak. Pre-game coverage of the Chicago Bears begins at 11:30 Sunday morning on the Laser.
Your home for the Chicago Bears in West Central Illinois is 92.7 FM, the Laser.
The deadline to make lease or rent changes on your farmland is November 1st. Windship Farm Management can help provide landowners with the greatest potential income. A practical understanding of farm planning, grain marketing, financial reporting, and personal service is what you can expect from Windship Farm Management. Whether you're an absentee landowner, retired farmer, or new landowner, they can provide comprehensive management services and a wide range of lease agreements. Let Harold and Judy answer all your questions at 342-2800. Windship Farm Management. Producing results, managing for success.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Not only does Peoria Notre Dame get 2 touchdowns in the third quarter, they outgain Galesburg 152 yards to 2.
Ouch.
Silver Streaks ran 3 plays, had the ball only 62 seconds in that third quarter, and Notre Dame starts here 3rd and 4 inside the Galesburg 15-yard line. They're going to have another first down just inside the 10-yard line.
It depends on where they spot it. It's going to be pretty close. Yeah, they gave him a good spot.
Well, the stick is actually sitting behind the first down marker. And the officials are looking it over. They're going to bring the chains out on this one. Looks like they will. First measurement we've had tonight. So that'll slow things down here to start off the fourth quarter.
It's been a good breeze tonight. I think it may be a little stronger than it's been earlier. As we said, tomorrow's supposed to be very windy, especially once some of that rain starts to come in. And I was just down here talking to Steve Davis, and Steve said he had been told they had moved up the start of the Cardinal game with the Cubs tomorrow because of expected bad weather.
Oh.
So I guess you can do that even with all the network commitments. And I'm sure fans that are driving in any distance are probably thrilled to hear that.
Well,
but at least they get a little advance notice. Again, that's Steve Davis. Maybe he's pulling my leg, but I think he was on the up.
There's
up.
No more unreliable person in this.
And he is a Cardinal fan, so you can only trust him so much.
Well, spoken like a true blue. All right, fourth and inches. Notre Dame doesn't get it, but they do get it here. Washington with a quarterback sneak right up the middle. And Washington easily got the less than a yard that he needed. It'll be first and goal for the Irish inside the 10. Interesting, you know, and I had heard there was a chance of rain tomorrow, and I had no idea until I looked at the forecast really in detail earlier today that it was such a good chance of rain and maybe some severe weather like you're indicating, Jim. And good thing the Illini are playing early tomorrow because
they could be
caught in that too.
I haven't really heard mention of severe up here, but I suppose you get down around St. Louis maybe and there's a better chance for that to happen. It is unusual, though, and I mean, I've heard it in case of a hurricane or something, they've moved up the starting time, but it's not very normal when it's just talking thunderstorms.
First and goal for the Irish from the 9. Handoff to Sanders. Looks like a little bit of a miscommunication in the handoff. Washington had a hard time getting it into the numbers of Sanders, and yet he still picks up 3 and gets it down to the 6.
Well, at least we tackled him back. You know, we said he's 5'8 and 195, and I would swear 175 is from the waist down. I mean, that's just how thick he is down low in his legs and stuff. He's just God made him to be a fullback.
14th play of the Notre Dame drive that started back at the Irish 7-yard line. They've taken it down to the Galesburg 6 here. And again, not in any hurry. Happy to just take up more time. Washington on the pitch to Andrew Shadid. Found a hole across the right side, and he goes in virtually untouched. It's 27-0 in favor of the Irish. And it looks like Gage Miller with that right hand in a cast. Looks like somebody stepped on it. He comes up gripping his right arm.
Yep, sure is. Actually holding the right bicep.
Yeah, and I see that now. I thought he was holding the cast at first, and with a broken finger, I'm sure that wouldn't feel good. But, yeah, he did have his hand up higher. Well, that's going to take me a while to add up this time. So we'll let Churn boot the extra point here, which he hasn't missed all season. He gets another one. It's 28-0 Notre Dame. 10:37 to go in the game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Beginning Monday, October 7th, the City Bus Transfer Point downtown will be permanently located one block west of its current location. It will move to the corner of Prairie and Main Streets near the Sandberg Annex and Azer Medical Supply. The change is due to the beginning of the Seminary Kellogg Overpass Project. For bus routes and fare details, find them on Facebook. Just search Galesburg Transit.
I'm Craig McCluskey. Use Galesburg Transit. Catch us now.
Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
play scoring drive for Peoria Notre Dame. Covers 93 yards. And they take, at another minute 23, they take 7 minutes and 56 seconds off the clock. And with 10:37 to go in the game, the Irish now lead the Silver Streaks 28-0. And the kickoff goes easily into the end zone.
The kickoff hit the base of the goalpost. He didn't quite make it through. I thought it was going to, but it just hit the bottom of the streaks pad there that's wrapped around the bottom of the goalpost.
Top of the sixth, Cardinals still lead the Cubs 6-0. And it is a final from Cincinnati. The Pirates beat the Reds 4-1. So the Cardinals are going to have to win to wrap up the division. And won't get any help from the Reds tonight.
And let's see. So the Pirates, or the Reds, would have to win the next two. from the Pirates, I believe, to tie them. Is that right?
Yeah. They'll be down two now. That's right.
And so that in all likelihood that playoff game between those two will probably be in Pittsburgh the way it looks right now.
Thinking about it earlier, as up the middle the play goes to Ben Holloway, and he scrambles his way to the 40-yard line. Nice little run by Ben. Pick up 14 yards. One of Holloway's best gains of the night. Cardinals have a losing record against all of the playoff teams in the National League except Cincinnati. Isaacson on a quick snap to J.J. Range, trying to get to the outside. Avoids being undercut from one tackle, gains three. Second and seven. Losing record to the Braves, Dodgers, and Pirates. The Cardinals have this year.
Yeah, let's see. The Braves, they got swept there, and then they...
Right after the All-Star break.
Right, and then, but then the Braves came, and the Cardinals won three straight but dropped the fourth game.
Right.
So they came close.
But that was enough to give the Braves the advantage, and that one game may turn out to be the difference, because even if the Cardinals finish tied... Because of the season series head-to-head, then the Braves would get home field advantage.
Of course, to negate that, all you got to do is go in and win the first game there, and then it's
right
all square. So,
yep,
they'll send Jake Westbrook out there; they'll be fine. Not
from the 50-yard line. The handoff goes to J.J. Range, and the streaks are into Notre Dame territory to the 45-yard line. Well, the Cardinals. Rotation shaping up the way it is right now. Shelby Miller, Wainwright, obviously. Joe Kelly's pitched terrific. And
Mr. No-hitter almost.
All of a sudden you got Waka really emerging. Westbrook may not have to pitch unless they get into another Game 6 in the World Series in the 11th inning.
Right.
Because he's not been good the second half of the year. Gain of four. Silver Streaks have third and one here from the Notre Dame 42. 8:45 and counting, fourth quarter. Galesburg down 28-0. High snap to Isaacson. He goes up for it. Now just blitzes straight up the middle of the field, and he gets stopped right at the 40-yard line. And if the ball is on the 40, that's going to be just enough for the first down. And they put the ball squarely on the 40-yard line, so that is their second third down conversion of the night.
You can see why Ryan Dimmler is one of the captains of this Peoria Notre Dame team, number five, the linebacker. He fills a hole, and he's dealt out some big hits tonight, and another one there on Peyton Isaacson.
J.J. Range gets his fourth carry of the night, so the Silver Streaks starting to mix it up a little bit more, getting J.J. some carries. He'd carried the ball only once until this fourth quarter, picks up four there. And the Silver Streaks are down to the 36-yard line of Notre Dame. About as deep as they've been all night here, and a timeout called by the officials. And you know Lance Lynn?
Seems to maybe
have turned things around a little bit. Had a three-hitter going and still a shutout going into the bottom of the sixth. So he and Miller will both finish with 15 wins. Wainwright's got, is it 18 now? No, yep. He's going for 18 tomorrow, right?
I was thinking he got his 18th.
Maybe he did. All right, Isaacson sacked in the backfield back at the 40-yard line. I can't remember now. So it's pretty good starting three there if Lynn has indeed turned around his troubles from about a month ago.
It'd be nice to get Alan Craig back. They still don't really know. It doesn't sound like he's going to be back real soon, if he is at all.
Third and 11 for the Silver Streaks after the big loss on the sack to Isaacson. Fakes the punt, or play rather. Little dump play to J.J. Range on the screen pass, and he dives forward, tackled just a yard short of the first down marker. But down 28-0 at the Notre Dame 31-yard line. They'll go for it here. That's first pass completion of the night for Peyton Isaacson. One for eight.
He deserves a few others. He's had a couple of drops, and the one that was, they said, deflected, that was pass interference.
Yep, that was hard. Up the middle to Range, crosses the 30-yard line. Good fourth down play. That'll give him a first down.
You know, this Notre Dame team, they don't have a whole lot of beef up front. They got the one kid that's about 6'3 and 262. That's a big boy. But for the most part, they got a lot of guys. They've got a lot of hype out there on defense, guys in between 6 and 6'2", and all running between 185 to 205. Just a lot of good, solid athletes out there, not particularly a lot of bulk for Notre Dame.
Handoff goes to the left side, getting to the outside. Holloway trying to cut back toward the middle of the field inside the 15-yard line. Heck of a run by Ben, but there's a flag down back behind the 30-yard line back in the Gillsburg backfield.
Well, that's too bad because we were in position to maybe get our first score after that excellent run.
Wow, what a great run by Ben. It's going to be negated by a hold. United comes back, defeats West Central 14-7. Again, our thanks to Ted Bevenauer providing us scoring updates from some high school games around the area.
A big win for United because they're probably a borderline playoff team. They're not as powerful as they used to be, but still the strength of their program allows them to win a lot of those, any of those games that they could win, they usually do. They're not going to beat the Stark Counties and the Mercer Counties of the world, but still a pretty good program there, and they rallied to win.
Western Big Six keeping a close eye on the Quincy Alleman game. After falling behind 7-0, Alleman has now taken a 13-7 lead over the Blue Devils. Fake. Now Isaacson lofts it downfield, intended for Ferguson. It's caught. He dives for the goal line, but the ball pops out. The official says he was down. The knee was down right at the goal line, and the ball came out. What a catch by Jake Ferguson.
It really was. He adjusted so well and cut in on that ball. And a heck of a throw by Isaacson. He throws that into a pretty stiff little breeze down here. And threw it a long way, so the Streaks knocking on the door of finally getting on the board with 6:33 to go in the fourth quarter.
Down to the 1 yard line, Isaacson on the keeper up the middle, touchdown. So the Streaks do finally get on the board with 6:28 to go in the game. Sure made that look easy after struggling so much throughout the rest of the game. They really put it together and got it downfield in a hurry. An 80-yard scoring drive. Now I'll give you the total time here in a moment. 4:09. Isaacson after the sneak and now running across the left side. Going to be offsides against Notre Dame. Got three guys on the left side trying to get an extra step. And that'll move him 1 yard closer for the extra point.
That's about as inconsequential a penalty as you'll ever get. 1 whole yard. Woo!
So now it'll be a 19-yard extra point attempt. The hold, Tyler Podwoiski. What a heck of a kick by Peyton Isaacson. That's about as strong as a boot as he's had all season long. The extra point is good. 28-7, 6:28 to go in the game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg and by Dickerson's Photography on West Main Street in Galesburg. Timeless images for you and your family.
And we'll recommend you to all our family and friends.
Wasn't that nice?
I think you skipped a page.
I don't think so.
The part where they wrote, Michelle was a joy to work with.
Okay. It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. Proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
Tune in to Cardinal Baseball tomorrow night as the Redbirds host the Chicago Cubs. Coverage begins at 5:40 tomorrow night.
Tune in for Cardinal Baseball on WGIL.
Peyton Isaacson's first touchdown run of the season, a 1 yard quarterback keeper. After the 27 yard pass play to Jake Ferguson on a terrific catch, set it up at the 1 yard line. Galesburg down 28-7, 6:28 to go. What do you think? Onside kick here, Jim?
They're sure thinking so. They got everybody except one up front.
And
they didn't get it.
They go short instead. And taking on the run, Luke Shadid covers up the ball, rumbling up the far side of the field. Still on his feet. Finally run down from behind across the 35-yard line to about the 37. Farmington shuts out Havana. So the Ducks pay for the Farmers' frustration after losing to Knoxville last week. 42-0.
Wow. I thought that would be a little better game than that.
Told you United beat West Central by a touchdown. Mercer County rolls over Mid County 55-0.
said they may have to sell advance tickets to the Mercer County Stark County game.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Maybe we can arrange for a rainout that night.
Yeah. And go up and watch that one.
And then come back to a Galesburg game on Saturday. How does that sound?
I could do that.
All right, chatted in as the backup quarterback. So Washington's night is through, at least offensively, leading 28-7. Notre Dame takes over from their own 37-yard line. As we approach the midpoint of the fourth quarter, handoff to the right side. Shadid trying to get to the outside. That's Andrew Shadid. Close to the 45-yard line before he's finally stopped. That'll go as a gain of 8. Call it 7 on first down. Up to Notre Dame 44.
They've got, I don't know, they've probably got about a 50-50 split of guys that were starters and reserves in there right now. They've still got the big fullback in there. Still got Shadid in there.
The backup quarterback is David Shadid. We saw him in a series earlier in the game. They've abandoned the wishbone, gone to a more of a straight I formation set here, leading by 3 touchdowns and taking plenty of time off the clock. Under 5.5 minutes to go in the game now. Streaks jump at the line of scrimmage. Handoff goes to the right side, and the tackle made just across the line of scrimmage.
I think they ever did drop a flag.
No, I was looking.
You're right, though. We definitely moved a little quick there.
Well, the officials have a dinner, maybe. All right, it'll be 3rd and 1 after the gain of 2 by Mick Best, getting his first carry of the night. Ball spotted at the 46-yard line. On 3rd and 1. Again, Streaks jumping at the line of scrimmage. Handoff right, plenty of running room, and a big run will be a touchdown. The handoff went to Ben Barkley, his first carry of the night, and it's a 54-yard touchdown.
Well, he's got some wheels.
I guess.
So, have they scored every time they had the ball this half, or did we make them punt once?
They have scored on every possession.
That's what I was thinking.
Again, leading just 7-0 at halftime. They have made it look easy here in the second half, and that's really the only big play that the Streaks have given up all night. But a 54-yard touchdown run caps off a 63-yard scoring drive that took only 3 plays. And Churn, that's the emphasis on the extra point. This time he cleared both fences. Not even earlier, it was on a bounce. This time he clears him on the fly.
Yep, he just kicks it deep into the night.
Yeah, we got a young man down there who's crawling under the fence. Now he's going to have to climb over the second one to chase it down. 35-7 Notre Dame, 4:45 to go in the game.
And that's that softball facility. They were watering that heavily when we got here today. I think they've already got it seeded down and trying to have that all ready to go for spring. And there's probably a nice good month or more here to really do some good grass growing, so those fields will start to take shape.
Well, when we were out here a couple weeks ago, I heard Athletic Director Ralph Henning telling someone that the construction crews were looking to lay sod within the upcoming week. So that would have been last week leading up to the Streaks road game at Peoria Richwoods. So, yep, things are really going. In fact, Jim, you and I were looking earlier. Some of the supports are already taking shape for the field house.
Yes, some concrete starting to rise. Big crane over there.
I mean, as difficult as the dry conditions have been in many ways here, especially since about the middle of July, it's been wonderful for the construction out here.
Yep. Well, and the couple of the rains that we had really settled down a lot of that dust. Haven't noticed near the problem here in the last couple of weeks.
Kickoff from Churn with a little bit of wind behind him. Holloway watches it bounce into the end zone. Ted Bevenauer tells us Princeville beat Ridgewood. This one's hard to figure. 76-31.
And they're done? I would think with that many stops and kickoffs, they'd be playing until 10:30 tonight.
Well, and if Princeville got ahead enough, I mean, they won it by 45. If they got ahead enough to get the running clock, how did Ridgewood ever score 31? There must have been turnovers on kickoffs or interceptions returned for touchdowns in that one or something. Here, Silver Streaks have fallen behind now 35-7. So Peoria Notre Dame quickly answers the Galesburg score with a three-play scoring drive of their own, and this is shaping up to be Galesburg's biggest loss of the season.
Well, it's interesting because we saw last week's game, and for a lot of us, we felt like, well, these teams that we're playing, and there goes Holloway for a nice gain up across the 35.
But, yep, gain of 13.
You know, we felt like, of course, you don't want to get into the score comparison thing, but Notre Dame beat Richwoods in week one by a couple of points.
11-9. Neither one of those teams scored or rushed for 100 yards in that game.
Yeah, that was something. Of course, middle of the season, you know, teams are a little different, but still the personnel, you thought, is shaping up to be a lot like last week potentially, and it has been every bit that. The score almost identical. It was 31-7 last week, 35-7 this week.
Range is flipped down for the tackle. Still picks up almost five on first down. Ball spotted just short of the 40-yard line. Final from Elmwood. Trojans score the final 16 points of the game, and
wow.
Elmwood Brimfield beats Knoxville 32-20. First loss of the season for the Blue Bullets.
Yeah, but a good experience for both teams because, as Todd Hollis was telling us yesterday at Elmwood, the conference is kind of weak. There's not a whole lot of challenges for the good teams, and so those coaches might want to play each other a few more times to get ready for the playoffs because they are truly the cream of the crop in that conference, whether blue or black division.
Ball start penalty on the Silver Streaks, their fourth of the night. This will be second and 11 from the 34. Hand off to Holloway, who's crunched in the backfield and driven backwards by four defenders. You know, Ben pops right back up, though.
Yeah, he's something. He is really something.
And a marked man, too. I mean,
absolutely.
He's number one offensively, and the stat sheet doesn't hide it. And you can't hide him out there. They're going to send him out into the flat, lining up as a receiver here, and yet he continues to get a brunt of the carries and do most of the offensive work. Here's J.J. Range late. Nice run up the middle, and he's tripped up just across the first down marker, but enough for the first down to the 46. That could have gone for a lot more, but a nice defensive back tackle to take down J.J. Range at the 46, but a gain of 12.
Yeah, we saw Range do some good things there at the end of last week's game. He was our crunch time player of the game. Thought he might get a few more carries early on in this one tonight, but he's been used mainly as a blocking back.
Handoff will go to Range again. Cut out to the left side into Notre Dame territory, wrapped up and down at the 47-yard line. He'll pick up seven more.
Certainly not to take anything away from J.J., though, but he's not playing against the first-string defense either of Notre Dame, so yards come a little bit easier at this point of the game.
2:35 and counting to go with the Streaks down by 28. Galesburg in Notre Dame territory at the 47. Range at the hole across the middle, then runs right and tackled, but very close to another first down at the Notre Dame 44-yard line.
Of course, nothing easy about that one for Range because Medlin tackled him, all 6'3", 262, came over and jumped all over J.J.
Boy, he got a huge cheer from the Notre Dame fans right below us, though. Hand off up the middle. Another nice hole for Range created by the offensive line. Then the ball pops out as he gets across the 40-yard line.
Looked to me like Notre Dame got it.
Yeah, I thought it bounced right toward a couple of those white jerseys, and they do come up with it. Third turnover of the night against the Silver Streaks with 2:14 to go in the game, and that'll pretty much seal any chances because Notre Dame's not going to be looking to do anything fancy here except gain maybe one first down and try to run out the final 2:14.
Yep, I would think they may, it might be a little early to take a knee right here. But
yeah, I think they still need to gain one first down to fully run out the clock. See if we can get a final on that Alleman Quincy game before we get out of here tonight.
Well, after a couple of really tough opponents the last 2 weeks, a good opportunity if we can regroup next week going over to Peoria to play Manuel. A defense that will allow us a little more room to operate than the last two have against two what I'm convinced will be playoff teams, and both of which could go a few rounds into the playoffs.
And again, I wasn't following as closely deeper into the playoffs, but as I understood it, in that quarterfinal game that this team here, Notre Dame, played last year, things go right late in the game. they win it and they go to the semifinals. They were that good, and they were that close to being a Final Four team. 41-14 is the Rock Island lead over Peoria Central now. Alleman's still up 13-7 on Quincy at last check.
The one thing that the Peoria, the Mid-State, old Mid-State teams will be giving up is because a number of them would get tested. They would play either Washington or Metamora, who are just traditional powers over there. And so those games are not going to be allowed to happen, although you'll see some of those match up maybe come playoff time.
Boy, another big run here. This time it's a backup quarterback, David Shadid. Ryan Dimler just picked up a first down on his first carry of the night, and the Silver Streaks, everything they can do to stop David Shadid. He runs it all the way down to the 30 for a gain of 16 more. Notre Dame successfully has not only the first down that they needed to run out the clock, but now they got another one with a minute 19 to go in the game. Ball now sitting at the Galesburg 30-yard line. And Shadid hands off again up the middle. Not much there this time, as they stop Ryan Dimler for a gain of a couple.
Heard assistant coach Mark Reed yelling out there at somebody saying, get inside, they're not throwing. If they go up top, up 35-7 with a minute to go, I don't think this sideline is going to be very happy, and I don't think it's going to happen.
Right, I think they'll just, they'll just take a knee now.
Yep.
With 45 seconds to go. Fourth quarter at Moline. United Township leading the Maroons 22-15. UT may be that close to breaking that conference losing streak that they snapped against Galesburg 2 years ago and then haven't won since. And they put Washington back in there at the quarterback to take the knee.
That was weird.
Yeah. 20 seconds to go. That'll be the last play. 35-7 will be the final. Notre Dame wins it. They improved to 3-2 on the season. Their first win over a Western Big Six Conference team this season. And Galesburg drops its second straight to a former Mid-State 6 team. 35-7 the final. Post-game show is coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
People who insist that it doesn't matter who does your screen printing have lower standards than you. You know what you want. You know what you expect. Clean lines, artistic designs, quality materials that players will actually want to wear. Screen-printed sportswear like that comes from Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Soft, comfortable fabrics, bright, bold colors, crisp school logos that profess your loyalty loud and proud. Find everything you need on and off the field at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2014 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Live coverage of Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dickerson's Photography on West Main Street in Galesburg. Timeless images for you and your family. And by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg.
Silver Streaks football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. Altogether better. Crady Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast, clear with overnight lows of 58 tonight. Tomorrow, breezy with some sunshine in the morning. Then isolated showers moving in the afternoon, highs of 82. Wind gusts around 30 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, showers in the evening, then clearing out after midnight, lows of 52. Sunday, some sunshine breaking through for us, highs of 75, overnight lows of 48 and clear. And Monday, sunny and clear as well with highs of 78, overnight lows of 55. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 70 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Silver Streaks fall tonight by a final of 35-7. Trailed by just a touchdown at halftime, 7-0, and then Notre Dame really opened it up in the second half. Scored in their opening drive of the third quarter. It took just about two and a half minutes off the clock. And then Notre Dame caught Galesburg napping on the ensuing kickoff after that. kicked it short. Silver Streaks were looking for a deep kick and ended up kind of losing track of where the ball was. Notre Dame ran up underneath it on the live ball, was able to regain possession, and it didn't take long after that as they ran it in. Four plays, took another minute and 26 off the clock, and gosh, not even 4.5 minutes into the second half, they quickly put two scores on the board and were up 21 to nothing. Then to really make things difficult, on Galesburg's finally first possession of the second half, they failed to convert. They gained only 2 yards in three plays, did not get a first down, ended up giving it right back to Peoria Notre Dame. So not even 5.5 minutes into the third quarter, Notre Dame was already on its third offensive possession, and that's when the Irish really put the game away. As Galesburg kicked it deep, forced Notre Dame back to the Irish 7-yard line, and the Irish just took over. A 14-play scoring drive that covered 93 yards, and they took nearly 8 minutes off the clock. The drive started again with 6:33 to go in the third quarter. It finally ended with 10:37 to go in the fourth quarter, and by then Notre Dame was up 28 to nothing. At that point, Galesburg was finally able to put together its first and only scoring drive of the night, and it was set up by a terrific 27-yard pass play from Peyton Isaacson to Jake Ferguson. A great catch made by Ferguson that took Galesburg down to the 1-yard line, and then Isaacson ran it in from a yard out. That ended up being Galesburg's only score of the night. 80 yards, covered 4 minutes and 9 seconds. But down 28-7, Notre Dame came right back. A drive starting from the Irish 37-yard line, and it was a three-play scoring drive. Ben Barkley ran a 54-yard touchdown run on the third play and got that score right back and ended up winning 35-7. So the Irish now 3-2 on the season, and Jim Lee is with head coach Tim Doherty.
All right, well, Coach, this game took on a very similar characteristic to the Alleman game and then to the Richwoods game, because these are probably all three clearly playoff teams we've lost to here. And all three, we hung with them for a while, but then as the game went on, things just kind of snowballed on us, and it seemed like, I don't know, we don't really wear out, but I think maybe they just, the dominance of a playoff-type team just seemed to establish itself.
There's no question, you know, three of our first five opponents, they're not playoff. These guys are going to go on and win the conference. Richwoods will probably run the table. You know, we've had a tough schedule. I'm proud of our kids, but we have to understand how to win these games. You know, we can't come out and give two short fields in the third quarter on special teams. I don't know. You know, I think our kids' effort tonight was outstanding. We just have, you know, it's a growing process.
Their first score set up on the interception off of Peyton Isaacson, his first one of the season, and one of those that just didn't quite get it over the top of the linebacker, it looked like.
Screen was set up. It's football. You hit it right in the chest. And, you know, I'm proud of our kids. The score does not indicate the type of game it was. We gave them a handful, but obviously it's about points on the board. So, you know, we just have to understand that.
As you look at Notre Dame, would you say obviously they played a two-point game with Richwoods. They're physically very similar, I guess, aren't they?
Yeah, like I said, the three teams we've lost to are I've seen enough football that they're quality opponents. We just have to continue growing and learning what we have to do to win games like this.
Yeah, you know, at halftime we were sitting there again where you'd held a couple of times down there, and it looked like that we might be able to take a little momentum from that. You had to be pretty proud of the guys, I'm sure, in that second quarter with the effort that they gave down there in the goal line.
Well, outside of the screen pass that you just described, you know, we're winning 7-0, but, you know, I don't want this to be an acceptable way. You know, you play hard, and we have to find ways to continue getting better and clean up our game.
All right, we'll see you next week over at Peoria Stadium.
You bet. Thank you.
As always, our thanks to Tim Doherty joining us in the post game, win or lose. Obviously, it's not always easy to talk to the media after a loss, especially a 35-7 loss, but we appreciate the coach's comments in our post game. We'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll look at some final numbers and still have our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game to give you as well. As Notre Dame wins at 35-7, Galesburg sophomores also fell tonight 19-7. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's time for your annual checkup, but you don't need a hospital gown for this one. Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg, suggests you complete an insurance checkup once a year. Life changes quickly. A checkup will ensure that your policies still provide the right amount of coverage for you and your family. You might even be able to lower your premiums with an auto or home policy from Rockford Mutual Insurance. For an insurance checkup, contact me, Mark Craddy, or stop by our office on Henderson Street in Galesburg today.
Beginning Monday, October 7th, the City Bus Transfer Point downtown will be permanently located one block west of its current location. It will move to the corner of Prairie and Main Streets near the Sandberg Annex and Azer Medical Supply. The change is due to the beginning of the Seminary Kellogg Overpass Project. For bus routes and fare details, find them on Facebook. Just search Galesburg Transit.
I'm Craig McCluskey. Use Galesburg Transit. Catch us now.
Your home for St. Louis Cardinals baseball. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Taking a look at just some of the final numbers here tonight as Galesburg falls to Peoria Notre Dame to drop to 2-3 on the season. Aaron Sanders leads Peoria Notre Dame in rushing with 80 yards, including a touchdown. Andrew Shadid had two touchdowns tonight for 65 yards. DeMarco Washington had one for 13. And a big touchdown run by Ben Barkley is only carry of the night for 54 yards. For the Silver Streaks, Peyton Isaacson has the only touchdown for the Silver Streaks, 58 yards rushing on 16 carries. Ben Holloway, the leading rusher in terms of yardage, with 80 on the ground on 14 carries. J.J. Range late in the game picked up some nice ground. 8 carries for 36 yards. Tough night passing for Peyton Isaacson, 2-for-9 with his first interception of the season. Set up Peoria Notre Dame's first score. It was the only score of the first half. Galesburg down 7-0 at halftime. Isaacson finished with 37 yards passing, 10 to J.J. Range, and 27 to Jake Ferguson. Only 4 penalties tonight for Galesburg for 35 yards. Only 2 penalties for Notre Dame, and none in the second half for 10 yards. The Irish are 3-2. The Silver Streaks are 2-3. And Galesburg has one more non-conference game with Peoria Emanuel next week in Peoria before coming back home to take on Rock Island for the final game ever at Van Dyke Field and then go to Quincy before wrapping up the regular season in Peoria again to battle the Lions of Peoria High School. Take a break here on the post-game show. Our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game is next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't. You better call Dave's.
Why would you even want to buy bunch fleas, Mom?
Ooh, look at this. I haven't seen one of these since I was a little girl.
Fleas, ew. I don't like bugs.
I think I see some crawling on you.
Ah!
Oh, sweetie, we're not buying fleas.
You said it's a flea market, but I would like to ride the ponies.
Or maybe play in the chill house.
Then feed the animals.
Flea markets are fun because you never know what cool stuff you might find. It's kind of like going on a treasure hunt.
You mean like looking for the perfect pumpkin out in the field?
You got it. Grab a wagon and let's go.
Hello, folks. Bruce Leonard here inviting you out to our annual Flea Market Festival. This weekend, we've got a huge flea market with over 50 vendors with all kinds of treasures to search for. Enjoy our live music. The Fall Fun Park will be open as well as the 8-acre corn maze. Country Corner Farm Fresh Fun, open daily just north of Alpha on Route 150. Visit country-corner.com.
Can tell the difference between someone who's come to the class prior to their surgery and had the education versus those that have not.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center introduced their joint camp program back in 2006. Registered nurse Connie Young feels the program has influenced positive outcomes.
It's really about educating our patients. What's going to happen to them when they get their joint replaced? What's their care going to be like when they're in the hospital?
Joint camp is your first step to full recovery. OSF St. Mary Medical Center, all together. They're better.
Glenn Beck, weekday mornings at 9 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Final scores here before we leave you from Van Dyke Field. You heard us earlier. We talked about Elmwood Brimfield scoring the final 16 points of the game. They come back to beat Knoxville 32-20. Rock Island has opened up a 48-20 lead over Peoria High School. Holloman has added a touchdown in the third quarter. They now lead Quincy 19-7. How about Moline coming back? They've scored 22 points in the fourth quarter, and they now lead United Township 29-22.
Wow. Well, both of those teams need a win in the worst way. So,
well, and Moline, in fact, when I was talking to Tim Doherty yesterday to, you know, do our usual interview prior to the Friday night game, even he was shaking his head about Moline, saying, I don't know what's happened up there. He said, you know, obviously for Galesburg, he said, you know, that was a great win for us in the first week. And then, you know, to turn around and lose like they did to Richwoods, he was just shaking his head, saying, I can't figure out what's going on there because they ought to be better than that.
Yeah, they're huge, for one thing. And, I mean, they're kind of inexperienced, but, yeah, you would have thought they'd be a little better, and sounds like they're at least going to calm the fans for one night if that holds up.
Unless they can't hang on there in the fourth quarter up by a touchdown. United beat West Central 14-7. Monmouth-Roseville came back and beat IBC 14-7.
Good for them.
I think. Didn't I read that? I thought I read that. No, maybe. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the United score.
Okay.
14-7.
7-6.
Because they were behind early, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 7-6 IVC at the half.
Uh-huh.
North Fulton shut out Bushnell Prairie City. So that's just a highlight of some of the area games. Certainly in the immediate area. And Cardinals in the top of the eighth now lead the Cubs 7-0. So they scored 3 in the first, and Lance Lynn has held that the rest of the way. And if you didn't hear, the Pirates won. So if the Cardinals win tonight, they are National League Central Division champions all by themselves.
And resident Cincinnati Reds fan Jay Barshinger I met coming back up to the press box. He saw the score but said, still, if the Reds win the next two games, they would beat the Pirates in the season series and get to host the wild card game. So he's holding out some hope still.
Okay, very good. Cardinals-Cubs tomorrow, and... Well, at least last we knew 5:40, but
yeah.
From what you said earlier, maybe that's changing too.
So. Steve Davis, if he's not baiting us, said they've moved the start time up. I don't know to when on that one tomorrow, but we'll find out a little bit later on that.
And Fighting Illini at 10:30 tomorrow.
Yes, we do know that. 10:30 pregame, 11 o'clock kickoff. I think they're 20-some point favorites over Miami of Ohio, and Illinois' offense has been doing some pretty big things here early this year. Whether they're going to do that when the Big Ten schedule starts, I still have my doubts. But for right now, it's been fun for them.
Well, let's hope they don't turn that game into an interesting one like they did with the SIU game in the first game of the season.
Yeah.
All right, final order of business here. Our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, Jim.
All right, well, you know, we had kind of thin pickings tonight because of the way this game went. There weren't a whole lot of crunch time opportunities. Certainly we mentioned the J.J. Range interception there. Late in the first half was a very key play that helped keep it a 7-point game, so that was a consideration. But the one score we had, a really, really nice play. If wideout Jake Ferguson doesn't make a nice adjustment on the long pass from Peyton Isaacson, we probably get shut out.
Yep.
But Ferguson able to run under that, make a tough catch, get us down to the 1-foot line.
That was a tough catch, too.
And then we punched it in with Peyton on the quarterback keeper. And so for that big catch tonight, that was our crunch time play of the game. And so we'll go with Mr. Ferguson tonight.
Way to go, Jake. And again, we're back on the road next week, as we mentioned, to Peoria Stadium to battle the Manuel Rams. Chance for the Silver Streaks to get back to the 500 mark. And they'll need it because those last three games of the season are looking mighty, mighty tough, including the last game ever here at Van Dyke Field coming up in 2 weeks with the Rock Island Rocks in town. So that'll be a chance for the Silver Streaks to get back on the winning ways. And boy, what a tough way to play your last game ever at this home field where the Silver Streaks have played.
Probably the best team on your schedule, yeah. The way it looks. So
tough way to end the 43 years, but, you know, if they can win it, it'll be a fantastic win. But let's get Manuel next week, get back to 500, and go from there. Jim, we'll see you then.
All right, sounds good. And hopefully the exit here is just, we see some policemen out there. Hopefully they're just directing traffic, but I wonder if maybe there isn't a fender bender out there. So if you're heading out from Van Dyke Field, trying to have patience in this kind of congested parking time this year, and hopefully that will get squared away quickly out there.
Final score, 35-7. Peoria Notre Dame wins it. Galesburg sophomores fell by a final of 19-7. And that's how things turn out at Van Dyke Field. For Nick Simpson at the downtown studios, for Jim Lee, I'm Brad Benowitz. Good night from Van Dyke Field.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.